Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy, Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because, that's why my guys in my car club call me the cruiser.
You should call them the dork.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So, how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a beach.
Son of a beach.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Paul and Fred are here, and that's it.
The two wily veterans.
Tucci's in the booth, and Eric will be showing up, though.
Yes,
here,
he is right? At a Matt Light charity event.
Is this the skeet shooting where they shoot
no.
the skeets?
No, it's something else. I'm not sure exactly which one.
Well, what's
it is.
This one for?
Tucci, you know which one this one is? Matt Light's charity event?
Today? I think the NFL is just giving away money.
Oh, okay.
I think it's in conjunction with the NFL.
Can I get in line?
Yeah, are you in line for a surplus handout?
I would like to be.
One of those?
Yeah, I think I qualify.
Bailout?
I need a bailout.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eric will be here a little later. Now, the
we
big news.
We will not see Andy.
Andy, we will not see today or Thursday because he is now the proud father of a second baby.
This one's a girl.
This is a girl, over 8 pounds.
8 pounds, 4 ounces.
Right. And what's her name?
I believe it's Sydney.
Sydney?
I'm not positive on that.
Sydney?
Yes.
Sydney?
Yes.
What kind of a name is that?
Don't you know you're never supposed to make fun of someone's name?
Huh?
I'm so happy God punished him with a girl.
I'm a little happy about that myself.
Yeah.
Girls are so much tougher.
How do you think he will be as she grows up as a father?
I think he will be increasingly annoyed.
Annoyed with her or the world?
The world.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the most miserable human on the planet anyway.
Right.
You know, but yeah. I think it's going to get worse and worse.
But sometimes those miserable human beings, when they have a girl, they become the doting father.
No, I think that's true because I think he is a family guy and I think he'll be, you know, he'll be a marshmallow with her.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the things that happen to girls, you know, as they get older. You know, they start dating, you know. Some guy with a tattoo of a dagger on his arm shows up at the door, you know.
Yeah.
His name is like Snake or something. He wants to take out Sydney for a date. I don't think Andy's going to take too
I could just see him, you know, with the first time.
Tucci's laughing. He's like, I know what he's talking about. I have a hot sister.
The first time the doorbell rings for the guy to pick up Andy's daughter, Andy opens the door and he's got one of his tank tops on and his Zumba pants. And he's just—he's just been working out in the living room. He's moved all his weights.
He's got
to
one
the
of those protein shakes with him.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You ever try this? Yeah.
It's moved all the weights to the living room, and hey, how you doing?
Yeah. With the fake deep voice, and watermelons under the arms.
Absolutely.
You nailed that one. Nailed it.
That's gonna be good.
But anyway, congratulations to Andy and his wife Deidre.
That is awesome. He called me this morning, and he hadn't slept for about 30 hours, and he was on his way home. Actually,
you can't tell me that he was cranky.
No, he was actually in real good, you know.
He's just, plus you would never be able to tell if he was cranky.
No, he was in good spirits.
So there'll be less tomfoolery on the show for a few days, for next few shows, because Andy's not here. However, we don't have Eric, so we have no one to drag us down into a morass either.
No, but he'll be here soon.
Okay.
Anyway, Paul, you had a big day yesterday.
Well, I think the organization had a big day yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday
was a pretty exciting day.
Was the Hall of Fame committee, and you guys picked the all-time team. You picked the teams of the decade, and you picked the nominees for the fans to vote for this year's Hall of Fame induction, which we can't talk about yet.
Yeah, well, those have not been announced yet. So, the all-decade teams have been announced.
Right,
and
except on Patriots.com, I noticed. What's the delay?
Well, I just sent an email to Chris to ask him if he could put that up there. I don't know why that wasn't posted when it was written.
Well, it needed to be he wanted people to edit it, didn't he?
Well, I did. I
Ferreira
did read it for him, and I sent it back to him. And
Scott Barboza from Media
and
Relations.
I just asked that. And it's not Scott's fault. He was doing us the favor.
He did it. He had it done yesterday.
He did the work for us,
which was
really nice. And basically what we did was exactly how Fred just put it out. The All-60s team was kind of already selected by a panel of media. It was an All-AFL team that was done way back in the early, I think, 1970. So we kind of stuck with that. We added a couple of names to that, a coach, a special teams guy, and a return guy. Larry Guerin, former running back for the Patriots, Fred, I'm sure some of the older listeners might know that name.
Yep.
One of the names of the past, or one of the top five.
Also
or
one
so
of the more
backs.
Interesting people ever to come out of this organization. I'll
yes,
tell you.
Does a lot of different things.
Oh, my God.
Renaissance man,
absolutely.
And he was here yesterday and helped us out. It was nice to meet him. I had never met Larry before. Olympic sprinter and all kinds of just
he's the guy that taught.
Athlete. By the way, looks like he could go out and play.
He's the guy that taught Andre Tippett all his black belt stuff.
Really?
He was
know
his
that.
Dojo.
I didn't know that.
He was his dojo.
Another thing. See, you could find out something about Larry Guerin, and I didn't know any of this stuff.
Larry Guerin has been around the world. He owns property in Germany. I swear to God, I'm not kidding.
I'm not doubting
it. He's like an nth degree black belt. He sparred with Bruce Lee. He sparred with, who's the white guy? Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris. So Chuck Norris was the one guy that gave him trouble because he has a very unorthodox style.
Hmm.
So
interesting. Anyway, he helped us out with, he filled in some of the blanks for us in the 60s team. We all selected the all 70s team and the all 80s team and the all 90s team. Now, we haven't done a team of the, the 2000s yet
because it's not over yet.
Right. So we'll do that next year. And then we will go on. And then we went on when we were finished with that process and picked our 50th anniversary all-time team, which was.
Was that tough?
It wasn't as tough as you would think.
Really?
I don't think it was. I think most of the time.
Because we can't give it away. It's all going to be announced later
on. Here's what was tough. It's going up on the website. I mean, the stuff is going on the website, so it's going to be announced.
But not right now.
I don't have it all. Yeah, it is.
The all-time team's not going to be announced until.
Oh, I thought it was. Okay.
No.
Just the all-decade teams were
announced. All-decades will be put up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I thought the 50.
I don't think we're announcing that till August.
Okay. Okay. Well, I won't get into specific names then anyway, but I will say that the hardest part, Fred, to me was breaking down how you wanted to actually do it. How do you want to construct the team position-wise? And what we had was originally the conventional offense, 11 players, with two wide receivers, a tight end, and two running backs. Not a fullback, two running backs. And then on defense, we had 12. Which a lot of those all-time teams do because they have four linemen and four linebackers.
Right.
Two inside, two outside, two DNs, two D tackles.
Right.
So it's kind of, it's a hybrid 4-3, but it makes it a little bit easier to do that. And I think with an all-time team, when you're dealing with 50 years, I think that's fine if there's one extra guy on there. However, what we came into problems with when we got to wide receivers, there was a groundswell to add a wide receiver in kind of the sign of the times. No one plays with two wide receivers, a tight end, and two running backs anymore. It's all one back sets, with three receivers minimum. A lot of times it's more than three receivers and no backs. So we added a third wide receiver, and that kind of generated a lot of the discussion whether we want to do that. We talked about adding a third corner under the same premise, but we shot that down. We stuck with the two corners.
Is it just one quarterback, or do you have a backup?
One quarterback.
Just one quarterback.
So you might imagine who won that. I don't think that's telling tales out of school. The guy might still be active today.
Rogan? Oh, no? All right. That'll be good. So
that was a lot of fun.
No heated arguments?
Well, there were some. I think.
Oh,
but like I said,
this is what we want to hear about.
More so than heated arguments about one player or another, it was more so, I thought, kind of inclusion-exclusion type things. And, for example, there was a lot of talk about Ray Claiborne and his, you know, his candidacy as a cornerback, one of the best cornerbacks in the history of the team, no doubt. I mean, 13, 14 seasons. I think he's the all-time interception leader. If not, he's top two. But I think he still was ahead of Ty Law before he left. So there was a lot of talk about Mike Haynes, Ray Claiborne, Ty Law, blah, 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 going back and forth. And people kept saying, well, Claiborne, in addition to being a great corner, was a great kickoff returner as well. To which I wasn't the only one, but I certainly
That's
felt this way.
You're right.
That's not what we're arguing here. We're arguing if he's one of the best cornerbacks you know, in team history. I'm not going to give it away, but you know, I think some of the positions like that one are fairly obvious who we were picking among.
Right.
So I feel comfortable using those three names. I mean, it's really not that many others that were possibilities. Those were the three that and a lot of positions, Fred, came down
Sonny
to that.
Samuel didn't mention
he didn't.
For cornerback?
He didn't. He's not in the Patriots anymore, so you can't have that.
That's right.
But most of the positions came down to situations like that where we, you know, there were two spots and really only three guys up for discussion.
So there wasn't like some of the old guys saying, you're not thinking of the old guys enough.
No.
Really?
No. And I think that a lot of them recognize the fact that we have had, you know, an inordinate amount of the team's success has come in the last decade. So it's going to be a little bit heavy.
Well, I was supposed to be there, but I just couldn't.
You just bailed out on us.
I am so busy.
And believe it or not, that we thought this was supposed to be like an entire day, 9:30 to 3:30, and it was a good hour to an hour and a half ahead of schedule, which was real nice.
How was lunch?
Lunch was fine. We went to CBS scene.
Oh, really?
We did.
Oh, that's nice. You all walked over there?
Yeah.
That must have been a sight.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a good day. The 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s teams, you know, a lot of, you know, some of my picks didn't make it, but nothing that I didn't find any real grievous mistake that I felt really passionate about, like, you know, like I usually do with you when we go back and forth. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah. That always makes the day go faster. All right. Well, that'll be good. We'll see the decade teams up on the site today.
Yeah. Those should be, if they're not already there, they should be there very shortly.
And then over the course of the year, along with the other top 10 lists that we're going to be producing throughout the year, the Patriots will be announcing the all-time team.
Yeah, well, it's the 50th anniversary of the franchise, so we thought it was a good time to put an all-time team out.
And
we won't do that every year or every 5 years. It's 50th anniversary.
And I think
all-time team.
I'm trying to think now. It might be fairly soon is when we'll announce who the three nominees are for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think
that the fans will vote.
I think
on.
They do that relatively soon. They tabulate those votes that we did yesterday.
Might be April 15th if
is
I'm
that
not,
when it,
yeah,
is that when we're going
to
do it?
Okay. And then you people will be able to vote until June. Yeah. So that's an important
that's a lot of responsibility
to
vote for that. You know, that's, you know, we leave that one to the fans and they're the ones that we nominate guys.
Now, I don't
want
to give it away or anything, but of those three nominees, is there a slam dunk there or do you think it'll be a tight vote this year?
I think it could be a tight vote.
Really?
I think it'll be a tight vote, and I'm not gonna, I'm not gonna give it away. I have a pretty good idea who the three nominees are, although I do not know officially who they are.
Right.
But I have a pretty good idea who the three are, and I think it'll be fairly evenly spread.
Interested to see that. All right. On to the Patriots news. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482.
So the Patriots didn't sign anybody in the last couple of days, which is unfortunate.
No.
I don't know what they're doing.
Something's up.
They're slacking.
Something's up.
Jason Taylor continues to get a lot
of time. I think overall things have kind of slowed down in the league.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the owners' meetings, I think, you know, that makes a little sense. You know, you're not necessarily signing a lot of players when the owners are...
The guys that signed the checks weren't in their office.
Exactly.
So
exactly my point. But Jason Taylor continues to get a lot of talk. He's talked about New England.
Interesting, but he threw in kind of a little wrench in the gears there. Miami, without anyone asking him, he said, I'd love to play in New England or Miami. You know, so now he just kind of threw that out there.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I don't know what Jason Taylor wants. And I'm not talking about money, because he walked away from a good amount of money in Washington.
He probably, you know,
that wasn't a salary. He wasn't a salary casualty. They wanted him to work out in Washington. So he was making, I think, $8 million. He walked away from that. So it's not money that he's looking for. I'm not sure exactly what he is looking for, though.
He's probably looking for an off season.
Yeah, that was the case in Washington. He didn't want to be in D.C. working out, or in Virginia, wherever the Redskins hold their off-season workouts. I can't imagine that he feels any differently about being in Foxborough. I mean, you know Belichick wants him here.
Right?
I mean, Belichick wants his guys here working out, and it makes sense. I think this is an important part of the team-building process right now.
Well, I mean, the word around about Jason Taylor the last couple years is that he's kind of turned into a little bit of a prima donna.
Yeah, that is the word, no question.
You know, so
Dancing with the Stars thing, and then the confrontation with Parcells.
Is the influence of the Patriots way in Bill Belichick enough to convince this guy?
Does he really want the ring? You know, another thing that was really interesting that came out late last week, I think, Fox Sports that had the quotes about from Belichick, and I think we talked about it a little bit on the show.
That Alex Marvez? Was that?
Yes, I believe it was, Fred. And Bill talking about his preference for older veteran free agents because he knows what he's going to get from them, not just in terms of their play, but their desire.
Well, I think we've been saying that for years now, that formula of bringing in that veteran
who's never had
veterans. It, coming to the end, needs that one thing to complete his career. And, you know, they're a good influence.
There's a pretty good list of guys that he knew what he was getting.
Rodney Harrison.
Roman Pfeiffer. Yep. Rodney Harrison. Brian Cox. Junior Seau more recently.
Yep.
You know, a lot of older guys that they bring in haven't really won anything, and he's going to look for them. You know, and he's brought in a lot of guys that haven't panned out either. You know, John Lynch last year.
Chris Ferreira says the All-Decade Team article is now available on Patriots.com.
Excellent, Chris. Well done. Well done. So thank you to Scott and thank you to Chris.
Yeah.
Get that up there and you guys can check those out and let us know who you agree or disagree with.
Right.
That's what these teams are for. They're supposed to, generate some debate.
Sure. All right. So
I can't believe you bailed out on that yesterday.
Paul, I just my life is really upside down.
Yeah,
right
I'm
now.
All done now. And now that Andy's going to be gone for a week or so, I mean, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I've been completely swimming underwater since I got back from vacation and
now
I'm just dead.
Cooked. You know, and Eric, I don't know what, he takes his walk every day. So
he goes walkabout.
That's 2 hours.
And I still have to do the big show. So, that.
Wow. Are you scheduled this week?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Wow. Good. Wednesday.
But, see, I did it on a Wednesday.
Can you make sure that they do it on Wednesday?
I've tried to do it on Wednesdays. Yeah.
All right. Another problem I had, our sales team is pitching a big package to Bob's Furniture for 2009.
Okay.
And part of.
I doubt it.
Part of the package is ads for Bob's Furniture on PFW show, New England Cable News. And they used a clip of us. And I had my shirt half opened.
Only half?
So the sales guys, even the sales guys are now saying, you got to button that up.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I have a problem for 2009. I'm going to have to button my shirt.
I noticed that your shirt right now is buttoned a little higher than it normally is.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm getting broader. So now when I keep it unbuttoned, it pulls it even more. So, when nipples started showing, I said, I better button it up a
little. Well, I think when sales guys start saying, Fred, you really should clean up a little bit.
Right.
That might be time to examine it a little bit.
There was something else I wanted to talk Patriots news. I think it had to do with, I forget. I don't know.
Okay.
What else?
You want to hit the phones?
Oh, that's right. John in L.A. is on the phone.
John's probably going through the DTs waiting 20 minutes.
Going?
Good, John. How are you?
I'm well. Paul, it's good to hear your voice again. I missed your comeback last week. I had to listen to it on the iPod.
Well,
welcome back.
At least I have one, John. Thank you very much.
You're missed. You absolutely. It's good to have you back.
Thanks.
This Jason Taylor thing. I'd like this to be settled, but I have a feeling we're not really going to know whether it's Jason Taylor or Julius Peppers until draft day. So.
I would tend to agree with you at this point, the way it's kind of, lingering. It won't go away. I mean, I think that Taylor makes more sense just because of all the pieces that were involved in the Peppers.
Oh, now I remember what I was going to say, John and Paul. Hey, that's half the Beatles. Anyway,
and Gospels.
What I was going to say is the owner, Robert Kraft, had a comment about Jason Taylor. Basically saying if he wants to be here, he can be, which leads us to all think that there's an offer out there. And I think it has to do with money. I think they're probably just a little bit, apart on money. And, you know, if Taylor wants to come down a little bit, he can be a Patriot. That's what I got out of the Kraft quote.
You could be right. You might be right.
Jason Taylor's comment to me seemed like sort of obvious game playing, not in a bad way, but just in a sort of negotiating kind of way, where it's like, yeah, I've got these offers. I could go back to Miami. Miami's great, too. It's like, yeah, okay, Jason, we get it. I think Bill Belichick sees through that, and they'll just wait.
Well, I mean, it is the way of a lot of veterans to just hold out as long as they can and not have to go through the rigors of offseason training.
I think that's what this is all about with Taylor. Yeah, I don't really think it's money. I think it's I don't want to do all the stuff that you want me to do.
And as a team, that's fine. You don't want to sign him and then have him not show up, and then the first impression all his teammates have of him is this guy's special. You don't want that.
Right.
So you're rather off, you're better off having a deal in principle verbally, say, come on, join us in August, rather than, sign him now and not have him show up at all. And you can't tell anyone about that.
That's for sure.
So by the way, Shockmane Davis and Brock Williams going to be on the 2000s team?
Well, there's a special category for them, but it's not all-time team.
Shockmane Davis.
Yeah,
I can't really take credit for making that reference because Fred made it on Thursday, but I liked it, so I thought I'd bring it back.
There you go. Okay.
I do remember you bringing up Shockmane Davis last week.
He's been on my mind a lot. I don't know why.
I remember when he used to make fun of Tony Gator. Tony Gator used to get cut and then re-signed and cut and re-signed all the time. Must have been like, 8 or 10 times as a Patriot?
Yeah.
And one time he came back and Shockmane Davis was making fun of him. I remember Shane and I looking at each other like, Shockmane Davis shouldn't be making fun of anybody. It's only a matter of time before he's gone, and sure enough, he was.
Yep. Tony Gator spent more time on his cell phone than – what's that?
Shockmane got a ring, though, right?
I don't believe so, no. I don't think he was –
2001?
I think he was on the 2000 team, not the 2001.
Yeah, he was on that 2000 team that played against the Lions on Thanksgiving Day, and the Patriots just got embarrassed.
I think that
Detroit
might be where he caught his only pass.
Yeah.
Fred.
Oh, he caught a – didn't he catch
he
a
caught
big pass against the Jets? Fred
Coleman. That's Fred Boom Boom Coleman.
Freddie Boom Boom Coleman, right.
Right.
We shocked the world. We shocked the world.
Yeah. I wanted to just briefly touch on an article I read in the Herald today, the James Sanders. And he had some things to say about Belichick that I think is an example of, Bill's not perfect in football or personally. But I think he is a deeply underrated person. I think he does a lot of really good stuff, not just with dealing with the players, but also off the field, but he just doesn't feel the need or feel comfortable with, letting the media in on. But I think it was nice to read that James Sanders saying that he really felt validation. And that's so unusual. I mean, I don't know if it's so unusual, but it's unusual to read about, because usually you're hearing about how in negotiations players and the coaches or GM are sort of alienated from each other. And in this case, it sounded as though James Sanders really felt like he understood his value to Belichick. And he signed for less money.
No, he was a guy that, and I didn't really disagree with him, that Andy said, of the free agents, he probably saw less of a chance of him re-signing than any of the others. And like you said, maybe we found out a little bit about James Sanders in the fact that, or maybe there just wasn't a lot of interest.
Andy thought there was less of a chance of him coming back than the others?
Yeah.
I would have disagreed with that. I mean, it's easy to say that now after the fact.
No, but he said
I thought that he was a guy that was one of those, we say it a lot, and a lot of times I don't agree with it, but at this one I think I do. I think he was a guy that's more valuable to the Patriots than other teams. I think Mike Wright is kind of like that as well. I thought they would generate some interest from other teams, but not knock you over interest that the guy couldn't pass up, and I thought, all things being equal, I thought the guy would be back. And yeah.
Well, I
like Sanders. Well, Andy absolutely loves James Sanders. Yeah. Andy thinks James Sanders is Rodney Harrison.
Right. But so that maybe have led to him thinking there was more value for him out there.
Maybe
yeah.
James Sanders is Rodney Harrison, but he's Rodney Harrison now.
But and Paul, there are certain guys on teams that are more valuable for that team.
Oh, there's a lot of guys like that.
Once they get into the system,
like that. I mean, Anthony Gonzalez, I think, for the Colts is a guy that's very much. Joseph Addai is like that. You put Joseph Addai on Pittsburgh, and he's not nearly that player.
Right. It could be Kevin Faulk. There's a lot of guys.
Yeah, well, I think Kevin Falk is used perfectly by Belichick. I think other teams could use a third. You know, I think Darren Sproles. There's a lot of third down backs that I think are used well.
Right.
But you know, look at Welker. What the Patriots have done with Wes Welker compared to what he did in Miami. You know, he's doubled his production.
He just needed a a good offense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you had to replace Kevin Falk with someone else in the league for that role, who would be your number one choice? And that includes Kevin Falk. I mean,
if I had to have someone do Kevin Falk's role,
I choose anyone?
Probably Darren Sproles.
Yeah, from the Chargers. But can I choose anyone?
You can choose anyone in the league, including Kevin Falk.
I'll say LT. Finish your career here as a third down back. You don't have to have the carries.
Well, that's cool. But I mean, somebody who's actually a third down back. I was thinking Leon Washington.
I like Leon Washington a lot too. Yeah, I mean, I think. Yeah, I mean, he might be younger, and Sproles had that serious knee injury, so you don't know how, you know, if that's going to hold up. Mueldy Moore is another guy I really like in that role. He reminded me an awful lot of Kevin Falk coming out of the draft from Tulane. Yeah, I mean, any of those guys, I would say. I think that's a more valued position today than it was, back when, like, Dave Meggett did that.
Right.
I think Dave Meggett was kind of rare. Now I think almost every team has a guy like that. I mean, you look... Josh, one of the guys that he went after, not a great player, but J.J. Arrington from Arizona, and that's why he did it. He saw it in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter. It was all Arrington in the backfield for the Cardinals. That's when the Cardinals made their comeback. He was very impressed with him.
Yeah.
Who knows if it'll work out. Maybe he doesn't have that skill, but he looks like he does.
And, you know, to succeed in that position, you need decent hands, decent speed. You don't have to be the fastest guy because usually you're going to get the ball in space.
I agree.
But you need to be smart.
Two things.
Yeah.
You need to be very smart, and you need to be able to block.
You need to pick up the blitz. Right, right.
Those are two, I think, that you can't live without. If you don't have the instincts to play football, and that's a football. Kevin Falk is a football player.
Right, right.
And you need to have instincts to play that spot, and you also need to be able to stick your nose in there and block a blitzing linebacker.
Absolutely.
And know where the guy's coming from. That's where the smarts come in.
Right.
One last quick question. When is the usual time, and I know it varies every offseason, but when is the time where we start to see signings like, you know, several years ago we had like Jarvis Green re-signed and Matt Light and whatever. When is there a specific time in the offseason?
That's a funny question, John, and I totally hear where you're coming from because of that big free agent class that's pending. We generally find out about it around the start of training camp, sometimes in mini camp, but mostly at the start of training camp. But those things very well could have happened now, and we just don't find out about them until then.
Uh-huh.
That's how secretive they are around here. They don't tell anybody, but then all of a sudden when you get around the players again for the first time, you find out stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And I remember, I think Green and Vrabel in particular were like the first couple of days of training camp.
Yeah, there's no benefit to the agent or the team to make announcements about those kind of signings because – you know, really, it just extends the guy's contract, and for the team, it creates space. But you don't want to go out and say, now we have space, and now people expect you to make moves. So they just keep it quiet.
Right. I guess in terms of Wilfork, say they had something, at least parameters.
I think in the case of him, that'd be a major signing, major re-signing.
Right.
And I think we'd probably find out about it relatively quickly. Plus, Vince likes to talk.
Okay.
So I think that there's a chance that we'd find out about that one a little bit earlier.
That one I think they would announce.
Well, I don't know if they would announce it.
They would delay that announcement because of, it, say, the negotiation with Julius Peppers, and they can say, listen, we want you to bring here, but we have people to take care of, and we're negotiating with Vince Wilfork. He's a great player like you, and, you know, maybe that somehow leverages them a little bit, helps them in those negotiations. Or am I reading too much?
I just think the Peppers thing. There's so many moving parts. Once the contract is done,
if you're a certified agent, you have access to all that information. So it's not like they could keep it secret.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Welcome back.
Okay, that's John from L.A. and Eric's back. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the Matt Light event that he was just at right after this break.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. a little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
The 2009 MLS season is here. Saturday, April 4th, the New England Revolution host First Kick 2009 at Gillette Stadium when they take on Western Conference foe FC Dallas at 7:30 p.m. Taylor Twellman, Shalrie Joseph, and the rest of the Revs are set to kick off their home schedule, and you can be a part of it.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Tickets for First Kick 2009 start at just $20, with discounts available for groups of 20 or more. Plus, the first 5,000 fans in attendance will receive a limited edition Revolution First Kick 2009 scarf free. Don't wait. Get your tickets now by calling the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222, or find great deals by visiting revolutionsoccer.net. So warm up your vocal cords and get to Gillette Stadium for First Kick 2009. Pride.
Off the line, saved by Reese.
Passion.
Flick, the shot, and the goal!
Revolution. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
But you have a good lobster bisque, it just...
Because it's a stew, a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
No soup for you.
It's like sex for your throat.
Is it chowder, a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, welcome back after the break. It wasn't that long. And Eric's here, and Eric just came from NFL Charities event with Matt Light.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for getting me lunch, three-gender. Thanks for thinking of me. Appreciate it.
He was looking for
dumbass.
You.
Dumbass. You could have just ordered me something.
Wow.
You have a salad.
He comes out firing.
You ordered me something.
I would have ordered you a salad.
Oh, I'm going to order you a can of
cat fight. Ass. Cat fight.
It's not funny.
Meow.
So Eric,
yeah, I just came from Matt Light's event in Woonsocket, Rhode Island.
What was going on there?
Matt was getting money. He was shaking down the kids for their lunch money, and he got $10,000 out of it.
Wow.
Yeah. No, a woman from NFL Charities was there to present Matt and his foundation, the Light Foundation, with $10,000 for some of the programs he does. It was actually specifically for a financial literacy program that he was doing to help these middle school kids, trying to encourage them, you know, you're never too young to learn about finances and how to be responsible with your money and, you know, sort of help them. Some of these kids were sort of interested in getting into business for themselves, and he was sort of helping teach them about that.
So why Woonsocket? What was?
Because the kids who were part of the program were also part of another program he did with them, where he took them out to his that wildlife camp that he started, the outdoors thing that they went to in Montana. So the same kids, they already had an established relationship, so they figured they'd do the program with those kids.
Did you talk to Matt at all?
Yeah, we talked to Matt. Yeah. Robert Kraft was there. We talked to him a little bit afterwards as well. And, you know, they were mostly there to talk about that event. You know, we asked Robert about the whole Jason Taylor comments that were that he made last week and Taylor's response to them. And he was just saying, you know, reiterating that he is a big fan of Taylor's and, you know, would love to see something like that happen if it were to come about. But he really didn't delve too deeply. And as soon as that question was asked, he sort of wrapped it up and said, all right, I got it.
All right.
Yeah. And, you know, Matt was his typical self, jovial, funny, serious when he had to be. And, you know, so it was...
Anybody bring up the white spandex from the Super Bowl?
Actually, one of the kids actually brought it up to him and got a chuckle out of everybody there. And because he was asking this kid this one kid if he wanted to start a business. And he said, yeah, he wanted to start some online customized clothing design website kind of thing where people log on and create their own designs. And
yeah.
Matt said, oh, can I go into partnership with you 50-50? And then the kid kind of turned around a couple of minutes later and was like, so, and he's like, do you have any questions? And the kid was like, yeah, I got a question. When you did that commercial, did you go into business with Sobey? And he was like, oh, yeah. And he started laughing. The kid's like making fun of him for his dance moves. And he was, you know, he's playing around. He's good. He's a good guy when it comes to the kids.
Sure.
Country road.
Yeah, and he can sing too.
Yeah, he's got a good country voice. All right, so that was good. No big news coming out of it though.
No, we tried to fish a little bit and didn't really get anything. But
okay,
don't know if you don't try, right?
All right. Another thing I wanted to talk. Eric, you weren't here. We were talking about obviously Jason Taylor and all that stuff and. We were talking about Paul's duties yesterday with the Hall of Fame committee.
Yeah, I heard that went well for you, Paul.
Yep. Paul didn't get into really any arguments.
No.
Yep. He behaved himself. But there is another thing that really is bothering me, and it's the treatment. And I guess she asked for it, but this whole thing with Giselle now in the Herald today and yesterday in Boston.com.
Yep.
And they're really poking Bridget Moynihan, don't you think? They're really looking for a fight.
Well, they mean who?
Giselle?
No. The papers.
Well, but she doesn't have to answer those
questions.
That's
what I said. She kind of, yeah.
You know, you can politely decline.
But they're really highlighting that whole, as far as we know, the interview could have been, 10 times the length of that. But that's what they're really focusing
because
on.
Because the publications have a job to do and they want to sell issues. And they figure if they put something juicy like that, people will buy it because they'll want to know what she said.
I understand that.
So if Giselle and Tom don't want to feed into that, they can politely decline not to answer those kind of questions.
But here's the thing. That's true. But, there is a kid involved here, And why try to create problems, really, for that kid?
Have you read all of the quotes?
I read what was in the Herald today.
Okay, I've read some of the stuff too, and actually heard them talking about it on the radio on the way home last night. And my reaction was, I don't know if you got this sense too, but my reaction was she was kind of brazen in when she was talking about Tom's, her stepchild.
I can see where if I was the mother, Bridget, I would not like that.
I can understand that she wants to act like a mother to the kid whenever the kid is around. That's great, and I think that's very responsible of her to do that. But to say that among your family and friends is one thing. To come out in public and say it, or to even to say it to Bridget on a personal level when the two of them are together, when you don't have to worry when little John, the kid's name is John, right?
Jack, is it?
John.
I don't know.
John Edward Thomas, right? When he's with us, you don't have to worry. I'll take care of him and all that. Making it public, though, makes it look like you're pitting the two women against each other.
Yeah, I'm sure Giselle didn't mean anything by it, but she's never been a woman in that position or a person. And let me tell you something. A mother is a mother is a mother. I mean, there's no one else that is the kid's mother. That's what they feel, and rightly so. No one else.
I felt a little uncomfortable when I heard them relaying that part of it. I felt uncomfortable for her, for Bridget, because I'm thinking, if that were trying to put myself in her place and thinking if that were my child and somebody was saying that, I'd be
it was a little strange. Now, I don't know if it's true what she said, but I was surprised to hear that Tom has the boy 50% of the time.
I didn't hear that. I don't know.
That's going to be hard to maintain, I would imagine.
Especially during...
Right, unless the kid's going to be here half the time.
Yeah, I don't
know how
that's going to work.
That's probably why... I mean, I will... Full disclosure here, I don't know the stuff that you guys are talking about. I haven't read any of it.
You didn't read the Herald today?
No.
What?
I didn't. I watched Cornerbacks and Safeties this morning and got my commentary done.
Did you hurry up and tell Chris Ferrer what we're going to do tomorrow?
You didn't go to the bathroom at all?
Okay, good.
Didn't you go to the men's room today?
Didn't want him to have a heart attack.
No, not yet.
Oh, that's not good.
No.
You should take Metamucil.
Why?
Because you should always go in the morning.
Why is that?
Huh?
Why is
it's
that?
It's just good for your body.
Good way to start the day.
Yeah.
That's things
now,
out.
Now, that's good radio talk. And I thought we were going to miss Andy today.
What did you get there? Did you get the
when do you go to the bathroom?
That's good.
You want a regular schedule?
When I have to go. No, I don't. I don't. I don't check in.
What are you filling in for, Andy?
No, I don't punch the clock.
Honestly, you need to be on a regular schedule.
Why?
It's good for your body.
Well, I'm so.
Well, he is kind of right about that.
Does it look like I have
a
good body?
Does Paul look like he cares what's good for his body?
Thank you, 2G. I mean, you're absolutely right for once in your life. I mean,
that's the funniest thing you've ever
said. I'm eating a pepperoni and cheese calzone, and you think I'm worried about being on a schedule to go to have a movement?
No, but even if you eat wrong, you can still be on a schedule. It's when you eat.
Anyway, I am not privy to all of this gossip nonsense that you was somehow
trying
to make out.
I was
going to
say, if you were on a schedule, you would have seen the Herald in the men's room.
Make out to be much bigger than it is. But I really don't see any problem with. Was it Vanity Fair?
Vanity Fair, yeah. She's
on
the cover.
That's what they're there for. They're writing about Hollywood and
right,
gossip.
I have no problem with their asking.
I have no problem with them. If she answered it, I think, and people have a problem with it, that's fine.
No, I don't have any problem with Vanity Fair.
No.
Because that's their job.
I don't have any problem with the media, period. I mean, that's the nuts. That's the juice.
Right.
I agree with Eric. They're trying to sell the article that hasn't come out yet, I assume. They put excerpts out there for the newspapers and for the gossip columns and the newspaper, you know, the inside track and the faces or whatever they call it in the Globe because they're too fan, you know, they're too special to actually say it's a gossip column. I think that they want people to read the story in Vanity Fair.
Sure. And it's very high-profile people involved.
I don't think it's the media poking at Bridget. I think if anybody's guilty of poking at Bridget, it would be Giselle.
I'm wondering why, if it's true, Brady has the kid 50% of the time. That's not the usual arrangement. You know,
it is,
especially for a cross country type thing.
Yeah, it does seem, and it almost seems impractical.
But Bridget.
But maybe he has him so much now because there are six, seven months a year that he doesn't have him almost at all.
You know, Bridget did not Bridget,
except for on road Mondays when he doesn't come home with the team.
Giselle did say something that I found interesting, and you kind of read between the lines that when this thing first happened, she was thinking, "Hey, that's it, I'm done." You know, when he found out that he had this kid. But then they stuck it out, and she found out what he was really made of. And, you can only guess that the way he handled this situation, the sense of responsibility that he showed when this happened, despite it being a surprise, impressed her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we like Tom Brady, because he is a man who is accountable. He steps up when he needs to step up. He's a leader. And
if I recall, too, when the news came out that Bridget was having his child.
Right.
I don't know if it was something from his camp or people speculating, but wasn't there talk that she sort of set him up for that?
Well, no one knows that for sure.
No,
there was talk.
There was talk about
it,
right? So
yes,
that could be another factor why G stayed on was maybe she felt like, well, you weren't intending for this to happen.
Right.
But you're still.
There's no doubt in my mind and from everyone I've talked to that he did not intend for this to happen.
I just want to state for, Hot Amy and any of our other female listeners today.
Yeah.
I apologize for the Neanderthal way of thinking that crediting responsibility on the part of the guy who had fathered a child out of wedlock.
No.
I mean,
no, you're taking it.
Wow.
No, you're taking it wrong.
No, absolutely.
No. I'm saying taking responsibility once the child was born, and not being an absentee father. I'm not talking about responsibility for having the child out of wedlock. I'm just saying
see a whole lot of positives that can be drawn out of this period, out of anything.
What do you mean? Why can't you find any positive, for something like this?
I think that's a big problem in the country.
It is a big problem.
Honest.
I agree
with
Paul.
You. So to credit the guy, I think, is wrong.
But
I don't think he deserves
but,
much credit.
I'm not
credit.
Crediting him for having the child. I'm crediting him for at least
Well, now the
being
child's
involved.
Born.
Yeah.
You got to make this child's life as good as it can be. And the best way it can be is to really know and be with both his mother and father.
Right. That's all I'm saying.
You're making the best out of a situation that isn't ideal.
I mean, I can accept that, but let's not give him the bronze medal for it.
Well, I think that he's made steps in his life that we talked about, adjustments to his life because of that kid.
All right.
Too many guys
I don't know Tom
in
well
sports and out of
that.
Sports, we see it all the time. It's just too inconvenient.
But were we saying that made you think that we were, you know, heralding what he's doing? I'm not heralding the fact that he decided to, well, I don't know if he decided or not, but
I forget the exact wording, but the wording to me was a little bit strong in favor of Tom. And
Whatever he did impressed Giselle.
How do you know that?
She said it.
When?
In the article.
Okay, well, I said I didn't see this article, so I don't know what the stuff you're talking about.
She said when it first came about, she was thinking of leaving him when they first found out that this kid was going to be born. But then the way he handled the situation showed her what he was really made of. Those are her words.
Okay. I thought those were your words. That's why I misunderstood
those
you.
Those are her words.
My bad.
You know? And I think, to me, it just confirmed what I always knew about Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, I'm not willing to go there.
That he's an upstanding.
What I know about Tom Brady is that he's an outstanding quarterback. That's it.
Right. Well, I've heard a lot of nice stories about Tom Brady.
And you know that you've heard a lot of bad ones, too. But you're not going to talk about any of those.
Not real. Just, you know. Oh, he didn't sign an autograph but for a kid at
that's not camp. What I'm talking about, and you know it, number one. Number two, I don't care about those stories because I don't know them. All I know about Tom Brady is that he's an outstanding quarterback. No one I'd rather have as my quarterback. None. I'm very much like Bill in that regard. No one I'd rather have. No one I'd rather have.
As fans, should we be curious, interested, you know, cognizant of this whole... Sound like John Dennison there.
To a fare thee well.
Right. Should we be interested in this story? Is this something that should be on our radar?
In the
his off-field life, Tom Brady? Should we care?
In general?
I say no.
No, because we're Patriots fans. Should we care?
I think in general, sure. But specifically about this like one item here, no. I don't really... What Giselle thinks about Tom's son, to me, is a very little consequence.
Well, see, I, you know, I start to think of scenarios, and okay, the article comes out, now the real mother is upset, now there's problems with the 50-50, arranged times to see him are now, you know, broken, and it causes turmoil in Brady's life, and then as a selfish Patriots fan,
you're
it's
saying
a distraction.
That's gonna affect him on the field.
Yeah. One thing leads to another.
Well, but some people are good at not letting their personal life interfere with their professional one.
That's true.
So I think he might be one of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but
all right.
From what I've seen, he doesn't tend to be distracted by those kind of things.
Who's on the phone? Jim in Texas? Jim in Texas, how are you?
Hey, Fred, how's it going today?
Good.
Well, here's a question for you guys. You still doing the best draft classes of all time? Or are we going to talk about Tom Brady's personal life?
Well, the best draft class of all time will actually be announced on Patriots.com.
Okay.
April 24th.
I'm curious to hear what you might have thought that might have been.
Personally, I think the voting was...
the Hannah draft?
The Hannah draft in...
That's one of them.
73, I believe, is the number one.
73
right.
It is.
Yeah.
But I had 93, actually, as mine.
93, I think, was in the top 10, but not high. Very
how
low.
About 95? Because I was torn.
95 is higher.
95 was who? Wallabaugh, Ty Law.
Ty Law, Ted Johnson.
Yep.
Chark was in the third. Martin was in the third. Ted Johnson was in the second. Ty Law was in the first.
Yeah.
That's an excellent draft.
That was a high one.
Excellent draft, Jim, 95.
No, that was like I say, I got out of the I got out of boot camp the day that happened, and I always say this. You had the top three cornerback in the league drafted and probably the top three running back in the league drafted on the same day. So that's got to be up there. But, yeah, the hand draft, that was pretty spectacular, too. Okay, Eric, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Mad props last week for threatening to kill Doogie. That was one of the funniest things I'd heard on radio. Real or imagined, I got to give you. Eric, remember that Seinfeld show, Serenity Now?
Yes.
Right.
Serenity that's Now.
That was you. You were the Serenity Now just broke down, and you were ready to jump out and do some damage.
I was ready to do it today, too, when I found
right.
out that the fool didn't order me anything for lunch.
Right off the bat, he was all over him.
Yeah.
Well, I sent an email to him. I didn't hear back from him, so.
Oh, wow.
That's that's not surprising, Jim.
Well, so do I need to send another email again, or what's it? Are you guys on for Thursday or what?
I don't know. He's not paying attention as usual.
Tucci told us or told me this
Tucci's
morning
very
that
distracted.
This might be his last show. That Dr. Dvorkin will be taking over on
Thursday. And as we say that, the doctor is actually in the house.
And the reason why we call him the Doctor of Death is because he's killing this show.
That's true.
Okay, I got some other questions for you. As far as the can we talk about the draft for a minute, if you don't mind?
Sure.
Okay. Paul, your thoughts on Cushing going 23 to the Pats? Out of USC.
We don't love him, right? We're all kind of in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Good player. I mean, when we say we don't love him, doesn't mean we don't think he can play at all.
No, he can play.
Yeah, I'm not really in love with those guys. Matthews.
Here's the problem with USC. There's so many good guys on the field at the same time. You can't tell who are the real standout players.
And amazingly, I totally agree with what you just said, Fred, and yet amazingly, they still find ways to lose to Pac-10 teams once every year. I don't know. Some might call that poor coaching. I don't know.
Well, my theory on Cushing is this. He's got great measurables. My one fear is Mally Luga ran a 4.91 at the combine.
Yeah, he didn't run and he got hurt, too.
Which, I mean, maybe he was hurt when he ran it, because when you watch him on film, he really lowers the boom when he finishes tackles.
Yeah, I like him better than the others.
I do too, but at 4.9, he's too slow. Certainly to go at 23.
I
got at that spot too. We're still a cornerback out of Wake Forest and quarterback out of Vanderbilt. I still like those two guys.
I like DJ Moore better, and I watched them a little bit today, but I would defer to Eric here because he's had much more research on this stuff than I have.
No, I agree with your DJ Moore assessment, Paul.
But really,
I like his tape a lot. And
how fast do you really think, you know, for example, Zach Thomas was in the combine? I forget, but he wasn't that fast.
Oh, coming out of the combine, I bet you he was closer to 4.5 than you think.
Okay, so we're talking 0.4.
Maybe not now.
All right, we're talking less than half a second. I look more at the guy's instincts at linebacker.
Oh, sure.
You know, he's not a wide receiver, and he's not a cornerback.
I look at the tape.
Right.
Game film more than I look at. I don't even really consider the measurables that much. I look at them because you have to sort of be, you know, you have to know what they did.
You
look at that and say, oh, he's not going to be a first rounder because of that.
Yeah.
You know, he only did 19 bench.
I mean, if the guy's doing great and everything else and he's running a 4.9, I don't even care.
Perfect example of that is a guy Andy and I have talked about a lot lately. He's Larry English, the kid from
Northern
Illinois.
Yeah.
The guy I really want to get.
I got to get up on my stuff this week.
He's,
You're killing us here. Talk to Eric and Andy on your off time and get the top 10 right ready. I did it. I was on your website.
Wow.
I'm getting ready. Where are you at? Where's your commitment?
Oh, my goodness.
Jim, he's still looking for his honor lads. Don't worry about him.
Okay, well, anyway, brother.
A pile of stuff on his desk. But like Larry, as I was saying, Larry English is a guy who didn't really blow you away at the combine. But you look at his tape, and all the guy does is make play after play.
But
that's,
you also got to look at the level of competition. Which
you do.
Goes back to
no, that's a good point. That's a good point. But I think if a guy can make a play and if he can stand out even at the lower level, there's obviously something there.
I agree with that. But my one concern about drafting a USC guy is, and this is the God's honest truth, the Pac-10 is rotten. I mean, they only play one or two tough games.
I agree.
And because of that, I think those great players who are all five-star recruits coming out of high school and no question, everybody in the country wants them. They can't all be wrong. But the Pac-10 is weak, and because of that, I just don't know. There's something about that worries me. Name me the last great Trojan receiver in the league. Name me the last great Trojan linebacker. I mean,
Keyshawn.
Yeah, I mean, that was, what, 10, 12 years
ago? That was a long
ago.
Time ago, though, yeah.
Right. I mean, a lifetime ago. But, guys, great job. I'll send you another email. Hope Dr. or whoever gets it, and you guys have a great day.
All right,
Jim. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thanks, Jim. Good stuff.
From Texas.
Is Jim, does Jim call in all the time?
He has been lately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
That's
good.
A good addition to the show.
He's good.
Texas. We're big in Texas. We had that Jamie from Houston.
Yeah, Houston.
Everything's big in Texas.
That's true.
Pac-10. You guys kind of consensus that they are. It isn't a good conference. But what is their out-of-conference record?
It's a little overrated.
Do we know?
I don't know off the top
of my
head.
I thought they had a pretty good out-of-conference record.
They do, but who do they play out-of-conference?
I don't know. I mean, you know.
Some cupcake schools is what
my here's my point.
But how do you judge them that they're good or bad by any other way?
Bowl games.
USC, listen, when I say that USC is one of the best two or three teams in the country every single year over the last, 6 or 7 years, bar none.
my contention is they probably should have won a lot more national titles than they have because they find ways to lose games to teams that aren't as good as they are.
I agree.
They have that one game a year. USC is not overrated by any stretch. They have great talent every year. When I say the Pac-10 isn't that good, Pac-10's not overrated either. No one thinks it's that good. They think it's USC and everybody else.
But they always get beat by a Pac-10 team.
Well, that's coaching to me. I'm sorry. I know that we all love Pete, and I like him as much as you do, but I don't think he's a good coach.
All right.
But when it comes to, you talk about the out-of-conference thing, look, they're playing eight games every year in the Pac-10. They don't play everybody, do they?
I think it rotates.
Do they play nine?
I think they play nine.
They might play nine. Let's just say they play nine, and then they have three out-of-conference games.
Right.
Well, they have nine games, eight of which are really cupcakes. Maybe seven. Maybe any given year you have an Oregon State has a really good year, or Arizona State might be really good. UCLA hasn't been good
Oregon's
in a while.
Oregon's tough for them.
Oregon's a good team. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay there?
Yeah, I'm all right. But you look at the SEC, and the worst teams in the SEC are going to give you a better game than
the Big 12 this year
than anybody from the middle of the pack on in the Pac-10.
Big 12 had how many teams? Big 12. In the top 25.
You're talking about 500 teams in the Big 12, like Kansas, that could beat you any day. Now maybe USC is better than Texas and Oklahoma. They might be. That's what I'm saying. USC is not overrated. USC can play with anybody, but I think if they had to play a full schedule, like Texas did when they had to run that gauntlet of Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, Kansas, and Missouri.
I don't think
they're going 5-0 in that.
So your contention is the middle of the pack in the Pac-10 can't compete with the middle of the pack teams in the Big 12
or the SEC. They can't compete with the bottom of the Big 12 in the SEC, in my opinion.
Okay.
The middle of the pack of the Pac. I mean, I think Cal is pretty good usually. Oregon, as Eric said, Oregon State was very good last year.
Once in a while,
but
Washington.
Arizona is average. Arizona State, average. Yeah. Washington went winless. Washington State was terrible last year. It's just not a very good conference. Not a very deep conference. Whereas I think in the SEC and in Big 12, you got to strap it on every week. Anybody can beat you. The Big 10, I think, is a little like the Pac-10. I think it's average.
Yeah, Big 10 has gone down.
Yeah,
over the last 10 years.
Ohio State. Michigan.
But even Michigan, they're not that great anymore.
No, but every once in a while you get a Northwestern who has a good season, or a Wisconsin.
Minnesota was better last year. Someone could come up and beat you. You're right, Fred. It's like Rutgers. Every once in a while, someone will get good and go through a cycle. Rutgers is going through that right now. They won't be there for the long haul. When that guy leaves, they'll go back down to the bottom.
On the phone, it happens to be the person who was nice enough to buy our lunch today, John at Palm Bay.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you, John. That was very nice.
Thank you very much, John.
No problem. Hey, I got a quick question for you. I'm going to eat lunch myself. Without your number picks, just say we picked a cornerback or a linebacker that we want in the first round, and another one that we would like to say a cornerback or linebacker in the second round with the number two pick, the first one, but a team like Kansas City or one of the teams that want a 3-4 like us, there's a player that they want. And they offer the number one next year. Would you think the Patriots would trade it or just go for the player they want and win this year?
How often does that happen? A team picks, they get the guy, and then another team likes the guy that they picked and makes a trade, for a higher round pick next year to get that player.
So if Kansas City picks someone that we pick somebody that Kansas City wants,
and they say, you know what, we'll give you, we like that guy, we'll give you our first round pick next year for him now.
Can you do that?
I don't know.
I think you can, but I don't think it's very common.
I don't know if you can.
I think what you can do is they call up and they say, are you going to pick this guy? If you are,
when San Diego and the Giants had that thing with Rivers and Manning, one team picked the guy that they knew they weren't going to keep, and then they traded him to the other team. And so I think you can do it. I'm not sure about.
I think they made it the trade.
Yeah,
is what they did.
They did, but I don't know if they would. I don't know if the scenario John's talking about would take.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, guys, I got to go to lunch, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure, John. I'm not sure that they would do that. He'll probably listen later. I know he's going to lunch. But I'm not sure that I mean, I think that the Patriots are always interested in that future, you know, the future earnings kind of stuff, and we've seen it so many times. We started with Baltimore back in 04 when I think the Kyle Bowler trade, when the Patriots ended up trading the number one, the second of the two number ones that year, if I'm not mistaken, and Baltimore took it and gave them the number one the following year. It might have been 03. I think it was 03, now that I'm thinking about it. And they had the two number ones in 04. You know, I think that's the Watson Wilfork year, right?
Right, right.
So it was 03 that they traded the second of the two number ones to Baltimore for future number one. I could see that happening anytime. I'm not sure it would be specifically over a player like you and Fred said, Eric. Kansas City might want a player and see that he's still available, and they might call New England and say, hey, you know, we'll give you a number one to get in your spot here at 23, and then the Kansas City could take the guy they're looking for.
Brian from Baltimore sends us USC's record.
Sure it's outstanding.
Against AP top 10 opponents, and it is outstanding. They've only lost two games since 2001 against top 10 ranked teams. But that wasn't my question.
Texas
my question
is probably one of them.
The other teams, how do they do out of conference against good teams?
The other teams in the Pac-10?
No. Yeah, how do the other teams in the Pac-10 do against other
non-Pac-10 teams?
Let's say top 25 teams.
I'll bet you not really
not
well.
Not very well.
Even top 25 teams.
I don't have that number on me, but that I'm not USC is a great team. This is not an anti-USC argument. It's an anti-Pac-10 argument. There's a difference there.
Right.
What are you doing?
Yeah, they're 14-2. Which is pretty good.
And they lost to Texas, right, in the national championship.
They lost to Texas in 2005, and they lost to Oregon in 2003. I'm sorry.
Okay,
they lost three games. They lost to Oregon twice.
But here's my point about Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
They're 14-3?
Yeah.
Against top 10 teams.
13-3
against top 10 teams. Yet, when was the last time they won the national title?
Right. No, I know. They blew
Why is that? Because they lose to teams that aren't in the top 10.
Right. That's right.
They lose to also Rams.
They're always
and
1-2.
And it only takes one. And college football stinks because there's no. If there was playoffs in college football, USC might have five national titles.
Yeah.
Because at the end of every year, they're always playing better than everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
They're always playing better than everyone else. With all, you know, apologies to strippers, you know, I don't really want to hear about Oklahoma. But, you know, we saw what USC did to Oklahoma for one of those national titles that they did win. USC, to me, has the most talent. And they've had the most talent every year for. Since Pete first got real good. Now, I don't know if that's 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. I don't know what particular year it was.
It was only about a year or two after he got there.
Yeah, in my opinion, once they got elite good, once they got top five good, in my opinion, they've been the best talent-wise ever since. But
Pete,
they don't win the national title every year.
Pete must be an incredible
recruiter. Urban Meyer does.
He is.
Because, you know, when he left the Patriots, his career was kind of... You know,
he'd had two stints as a head coach.
And I think a lot of people were surprised that USC took a chance on him and hired him. And I think, you know, it was a great move by USC. He's done nothing but win for that organization. Now, Paul's right. They should have more national championships
Absolutely
than they have.
Should.
And it's not because at the end of the season, it's because of those dumb losses
early. But that's another argument, I think, for not having the BCS. I think you should have playoff
games.
Well,
that's a whole different
story. No, I know,
story.
It proves the point that Paul was making.
Yeah.
When
we really want to find out who really is the best team.
Right.
And you just can't do it in the current system.
Exactly.
There's just too many little things that could kill you. And, you know, even though it's only a 12-game season or whatever, it's still a lot of things can happen. It's still a long road
like to be able to see it played to its conclusion on the field. And I know all the reasons why it won't happen, but I don't like the reasons. To me, they're not valid reasons. But that's for another show.
The White House is behind us, though, Paul.
I know. Orrin Hatch is carrying the torch.
Somebody writes in. People, you should put your name on these things.
Especially when you're going to criticize us.
No, but he's not. He's just saying, he says about Andy's daughter, of course, congrats, but when you have a boy, you have one boy to worry about. When you have a girl, you have a lot of boys to worry about.
That's correct.
Everyone that is listening right now is laughing. This is a famous saying that has been edited. Anyway, but put your name on it.
Fred, it says from Joy.
No, it
doesn't. The email address.
The email.
You hired him. I don't want to hear you.
I swear to God, the email address was Joybuster. So he thinks the name was Joy.
Yeah. A lot of times, Tucci, the people
you're an idiot
write in aren't using the name that's on the email.
I'll play the role of Andy Hart.
You're an idiot. You know what would be funny, though? She writes back and says, no, actually, Fred, my name is Joy.
My name is Joy. My last name is Buster.
My last name is Buster. Okay, great. No, but really, I mean, this is a family here. Our show and its listeners are one big family.
A very dysfunctional one.
Put your name down and where you're from.
And where you're from, yeah.
I don't need to know your last name.
No, right. first name and where you're from.
Yeah.
Like Jim in Texas, John in Palm Bay.
We like to know.
Our guys are famous.
Right. Where people are
Chris
coming
formerly
from.
Formerly of the Bronx.
Right. Absolutely. You know what? We haven't even got to the emails yet.
An hour and 5 minutes.
I really thought because of the lack of movement.
Well, you were just reading an email.
I know.
Well, that's twice he's done that in the last month.
Just so you know, when there's an email that comes in about a certain topic, I'll read it. But I haven't really gone to the list and started getting into the emails yet.
You want to start doing
that? Yeah, I think we need to do that.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be a really slow show because of the lack of
it was you and
news
Paul?
Coming out lately.
No, because there really wasn't anything to talk about.
I'm teasing you, Paul. I was playing the role of Andy. I was playing the role of Andy there.
You're teasing me about it. It's not my fault.
I was playing the role of Andy. No, well, of course it was going to be slow, Fred. I mean, it was just you and Paul. Blah, blah, blah.
He's the guy in charge, not me. I only take blame for the solo effort.
Let's see. Who's this? Oh, no, that one I don't want to read.
You see, that's what I'm talking about right there.
I don't want to read that
I take
one.
No blame for that.
That's from a friend of mine who works at Playboy.
What?
William Berry.
Oh, yeah, Paul's favorite.
Paul's favorite emailer. He says, to people who know the draft prospects, that wouldn't be me yet, but it will be by the end of the week.
Right now, that's just Eric.
In a later round, since Belichick likes multiple position guys, do you see any wide receiver defensive end hybrids?
Oh, very nice. That's funny.
You get the joke.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Funny. All right, so William wanted to see who would get the joke first, and you got it first.
That William. He's a card.
And if Andy was here, he said, well, of course Eric gets a joke first because of...
Are
you just going to say everything that Andy would have said the whole show?
He's having separation anxiety.
Somebody
apparently.
Has to speak for him.
It's a parent.
He's a parent.
Yeah. He can't speak.
He is a parent.
He can't speak for himself, that's for sure.
Cedric in Knoxville. See, he did it right. Right at the top of
exactly
the email.
It.
I don't have to search in the bottom. Right up top, Cedric from Knoxville.
It's another new name.
He says, hey, guys, appreciate the jobs you do. I've got a couple questions. I would rather sign Jason Taylor to a 2-year contract, less money, get an inside backer with number 23 and an outside linebacker pass rusher with number 34. I do not think that getting Peppers is a good idea because if you give him big bucks, why would Vince Wilfork get a pay cut? What do you guys think about that?
Who said he was getting a pay cut?
I don't know.
I would agree with his premise. Maybe not necessarily as practice, but I would agree that I would rather have Taylor for the short term, plug him in, pick up an inside linebacker, and then maybe even an outside linebacker after that at 34. As Cedric said.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
I agree with all that.
I mean, I love Peppers as a player. I just don't think it's practical.
I think it could be practical. I still think it could be done. I still predict that it will be done.
It definitely could be done
by draft weekend.
Cedric also asks, is there a possibility to use some of the compensatory picks that we received to get Ray Maliuga at 23? Because I think that he's a playmaker. You cannot trade
compensatory.
No, what they do though is they allow you added flexibility to use other picks to move
exactly.
around.
Right. And they have plenty of other picks.
So now with 11 picks, with 3 added picks, that gives you a lot of ammunition to move up. You know, talking to Gil Santos yesterday, Fred, talking a little bit about the draft.
Holy Toledo!
You know, but just talking about those six
there's
picks.
There's no draft unless I say there's a draft.
Exactly. But in talking about those 6 picks in the first 97, right? It's 6 and 97?
Yes.
You know, some teams only have 1 pick in that span. You know, so that's what we're talking about. When you have the added flexibility with those extra picks to move around, that's where it's beneficial.
The Patriots have the most intriguing draft prospects
You're already coming into the whole process as one of the better teams. I mean, you've been one of the better teams in football now for 7 years. So you're already starting 3 legs up on most of your competition, and now on top of all that, you have all this added flexibility to further enhance your team's roster. It's a good position to be in.
He also says, I keep on hearing that we could go with Clay Matthews at 23. I do not know if he is a good fit for us, and where does he rank alongside Maliuga, Cushing, and Laurinaitis? How do you rank Matthews to those guys?
I think they're all very equal, and I don't, as Paul alluded earlier, I don't really rank them very high on my list. There's just something, it's hard to pinpoint. With Cushing, I got a very bad feeling from him at the combine.
Yeah.
There's just something, you know, he comes across almost trying to be too polished, too perfect. And he had some answers to some questions about his use of
drugs,
substances that left me really scratching my head saying,
really? He wasn't too vague?
No, he wasn't vague, but he was very... He was almost too honest about it. Like he came out and said, you know, I've said I've never done that, and I've told teams, and I've told the Patriots, I think he said the Patriots, but I've told teams that I've never done that, and they believed me. And the way he said that, and they believed me, led me to think that he wasn't giving them the right stuff, and that they still bought his line. And
I don't know.
You had to kind of be there to understand the vibe, because I wasn't the only one in that group of media who got that feeling, because we all kind of talked about it afterwards.
It was an odd way of answering the question.
It was an odd way of answering the question, and the way he had this kind of smirk on his face, we all kind of looked at each other, and we talked about it afterwards and said, there's something not right about this kid. And again, I'm not saying, you know, he could be telling the truth, that's fine, but I just didn't get a good feeling from him. And if they take him, I'm sure he's going to be a good player, because I've seen him play, and he's a USC talent. I'm not saying he's not a good player.
They're all good players.
There are other players I think I'd rather see in that spot than him.
I like Maliuga and Laurinaitis better than Cushing and Matthews. Now, when I watch USC games, it's Maliuga that is the one that stands out to me. Now, I don't know if, you know, it's how much it's scheme related and all this other stuff, but when I watch them play, it seems like he's the one that makes the bigger plays.
Well, he's that,
you know, like the pick,
he's the
like
guy
the pick
that
against Ohio
out.
State, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, those are the kinds of big plays that, you know, I that stand out to me. Those are the ones I remember. And obviously for Ohio State, Laurinaitis made 1,000 of those plays over his career with the Buckeyes too. Doesn't mean that I don't think Cushing and Matthews are good players. I think they're both good players. I think Matthews is greatly benefiting right now from his bloodlines, and I think that seems to be
and
giving
he's got
him
that
a big
good story.
Push.
He was a walk on. He worked his way in. Now he's going to be probably a first or second round pick.
I think he's getting a big push from that, you know, with his father and his uncle. And you know, not saying he doesn't deserve him because he's not a good player, but I don't think he's as good as a lot of these draft prognosticators are painting him out.
He certainly hasn't done it for as long a period of time as, say, a Laurinaitis has, or even a Maliuga.
I would agree.
You know, so you have to weigh that, I think.
Names like Maliuga and Laurinaitis, Fred, remember last year everybody thought they were going to leave after their junior year.
Right. Yeah.
And they were coming out, and then they didn't. And they stay in college. And everybody said, well, wow, these guys were going to be top 20 picks if they came out last year. They're going to be head and shoulders above everybody else. And now everybody has them on the consciousness. Everybody's watching them. When those teams are on, they're watching every play. Mm-hmm. And then when other guys are making plays, they're not making every single play. They're like, well, what's going on? Why isn't this guy making any plays?
Yeah.
Why isn't this guy doing this? Why isn't he doing that? Yeah. I thought he was the top 15 pick. And suddenly the stock drops for whatever reason. Like, I don't know what they're expecting. I don't think that the play dropped substantially for either one of those guys.
Well, teams start scheming around him, you know.
I just think it's one of those things that you're watching it more closely because you think this guy's a top 15 guy.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're looking for every wart that
That's
you
That's why
find.
I think people are too critical of Ellis Hobbs, precisely for that reason, in New England.
There's that, really and there's also whichever teams are high up in the draft that particular year might not have a need for that particular position.
Right.
So suddenly, oh, you know, this team's not going to take him because they're stocked at linebacker or whatever position it is. And then, you know, things change year to year like that. So,
Paul from Bradford, England. Says, is Jason Taylor still an every-down guy? Like a lot of people, I'm leaning toward him, plus a high draft pick rookie as opposed to signing Peppers. But if Taylor can't play every down, then it puts a lot on the shoulders of a rookie, assuming Pierre Woods doesn't get much game time because he just plain sucks. Pierre Woods is good. He's getting better.
But that's an interesting point that Paul brings up, and it kind of leans on Eric's side of this argument with Peppers. If you get Peppers, you're getting an every-down guy. If you get Taylor, you're not getting an every-down guy. Probably not a guy that you want to be an every-down guy anyway at this stage of his career.
Right.
So there is a difference there.
Yep.
You're relying more on the Pierre Woods and the Tully Bantacanes of the world if you get Jason Taylor.
Right. I'd rather take my chances with Peppers on the field all three downs.
If it's straight up and one or the other, I wouldn't even be close. I would take Peppers, sure. But it's not straight up.
Chris from formerly the Bronx, now from Connecticut, who, by the way, has been doing a lot of interviews with prospects. Did you know that?
No.
Draft prospects?
Draft prospects, yes.
Are you starting a business? Are you hiring Chris?
Yeah, what's going on?
He's doing a good job.
For who? Who's he doing this?
He's writing on the internet.
On what internet?
If you go to the Boston Media.
I don't know if you heard of it, the World Wide Web.
There's links to his stories.
What?
You know? So he's doing a good job. Anyway, he says, Andy brought up a great point on his blog that might be good.
Yeah, that's what I laughed at.
Oh, my God.
That might be good to discuss on PFW in Progress. He liked Larry English over Barwin due to English's proven pass rushing ability and strength. I'm more of a Barwin backer because he seems to be able to do everything he's been asked at a high level. My question is this. Do you draft a player for what he'll do in year one, year two, or for his career? I think Andy's right that English can come in right away as a situational pass rusher and be successful. But I wonder, who will be the better all-around player by 2012? Barwin's got so much athleticism. I think he can play almost anywhere. But English has so much playing strength that I'd be happy with him in the fold as well. Of course, Belichick will probably draft a lineman first, so this argument will be moot. But I'm interested in what you guys have to say in terms of projecting future production and what role that plays in drafting.
I'm sure it plays in. I mean, obviously, you're not going to draft a guy expecting him just to have a one good year, and then you're going to get rid of him, especially if you're drafting him that high. You know?
I think that's probably one of the tougher things that they deal with.
Yeah.
Because you can look at a guy and say, well, this guy's clearly better than this guy right now, but it's 3 years from now, yeah, it might not be the same. There might be reasons. Now, I don't know Connor Barwin's past as to why Larry English is playing strength and whatnot is
so far advanced right now.
No, I know all that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, but English has more experience just at the outside linebacker defensive
right,
end.
Right, but I'm talking about the playing strength in this kind of thing. I don't know if he's newer to football than English is, or what, if there was an extenuating reason as to why one is further ahead than the other. And they weigh those things. I think those are difficult projections for the scouts to make and for Belichick to have to make in this particular case, because how many times you hear him talk in training camp when he says, even within when you're making cuts, well, we see player A has kind of been on this incline, mm-hmm, and player B has been on this incline. But
plateaued.
We think right now, even though player A is here and player B is here, you know, A is higher than B. Maybe after midway through year one, we see player B maybe being better than that guy, whereas that player A guy who started at a higher level is still at that same level.
Yeah. Right.
And that's that they weigh all that, and that's a very difficult thing because there's no black and white. No. It's subjective. There's nothing that you can
inherently subjective.
So yeah. I think that's a very difficult projection and one that they're making all the time in a lot of different ways.
Brian Wright wants to know whose nose is whistling. It's freaking hilarious.
Is my nose whistling?
Brian from Connecticut. I don't know.
Nose is whistling.
Whose nose is whistling?
Well, I mean, my nose has been stuffed up.
My money's on Eric's because it's the biggest.
Well, that's true.
that's a good point.
That's a good point, Tucci.
Let's see.
He's cracking himself
up
in his last year.
He really is, yeah.
That's probably me, Brian. My nose has been blocked for like 2.5 weeks. My wife.
You taking anything for that?
Pretty sure that I have a sinus infection.
Nothing?
Really?
Yeah, I'll let you know when I can go to the doctor, though.
You're not taking anything?
Like, oh, it's anything just over like the counter stuff. Sudafed.
Hey,
Tylenol sinus. Try that.
Let's see. Who's this?
Works
Brett from Leominster reminds us. Remember we were talking about that ShamWow guy?
ShamWow.
Did you hear about him?
No.
Is he in jail?
He got arrested.
For what?
He, what happened to him? He hit somebody?
Beat up a hooker on South Beach.
He beat up a hooker. Punched a hooker.
What? How did you know?
What? Yeah.
Are you serious?
Stripper sent me the email last week.
You should have seen the mugshot of him.
Oh, I've said last week.
Did he have the little microphone?
No, but he looked like he got beat up.
She probably kicked his ass first.
He looked like he got beat up.
He got beat up. He got arrested for beating up a stripper on South Beach.
A hooker.
A hooker.
Hooker, sorry.
I don't know. Why is it that these guys who, you know,
the ShamWow guy can go wherever he wants to get a little piece of tail?
Well, you would think, hey, I'm the ShamWow guy.
He's got a weird look with that, the eyebrows. Yeah,
I don't think the ShamWow guy is fighting him off. I got to be honest with you.
You might recognize me from the ShamWow infomercial.
He just, you know, squeezes out the rat.
See now.
Let's see. Fox in Charlotte, North Carolina. I finally saw a bunch of pics of you guys and was surprised.
Older?
Fred sounds younger on air than he looks. He looks like some spaghetti mafia dude. I thought 2G would be creepy looking, and he was. And the way you guys rag on Eric, I imagine someone with hair that brushed it 50 times a day. Clearly I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Leave the guy alone. We all know Eric was gay. He wouldn't be doing a football show. I'd seen Paul on Patriots today. No surprise there. And as for Andy, well, who cares?
Thank you. You're
no,
kind.
I kid. You guys are all great. What did you guys think of John Fox smirking and saying the Peppers to New England trade was laughable? What would you do if you were the Panthers? Would you trade Peppers? Would you try and get something for Delhomme with another team? And I thought Parcells wanted Taylor out of Miami. I heard he could go back there. I hope that's rubbish.
I think John Fox's thing was probably posturing.
Yeah, I think you keep your mouth shut when you're dealing with the Patriots. When you're another team and you're trying to get something done with the Patriots, your best course of action is to keep your mouth shut. I think that's what John Fox was trying to do. I think Taylor and Parcells had more to do with Taylor than Parcells. So I think if Taylor wanted to go back, I'm not convinced that Parcells wouldn't want him back.
Right.
I think that, you know, was the dance, it was the distractions that Parcells didn't like. And Taylor said, well, no, I think Taylor got a little stubborn, quite frankly, and said, I'll do what I want, and he left.
Yeah.
Gabe from Berlin, Connecticut. A lot of Connecticut emailers today. Just wanted to say, great job, love the show. I've been listening to the past few shows, and I missed and noticed the subject of Vernon Golston had come up, so I have a few questions. First, I was just curious if you had heard anything to indicate that Bill was looking to get Vernon Golston with the original number 7 pick if we had it and the Jets had not selected him. And also, if the Patriots like Keith Rivers better than Mayo, but selected Mayo because he was the only one available with the pick we had after trading.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, no one knows if the Patriots actually would have picked Golston.
I don't know the answer to either one of those questions, but I find it hard to believe that they liked Rivers better than Golston
and
traded down. I mean, better than Mayo and then traded down. That doesn't make any sense to me. As far as Golston goes, I don't think you'll ever know the answer to that.
Second, if the Pats had gotten Golston, do you believe he would have been more productive than he was on the Jets? I know he came into training camp late, but I am not fully convinced that would keep him back an entire year and limit his production to only 13 tackles.
Any player who comes to this team with this coaching is going to be better than they would
particularly,
otherwise be.
Particularly at that position.
At that position, absolutely.
Even writers for the team newspaper.
They're better.
Right.
If Eric wrote for Jets Confidential, he'd be just another writer.
That's right. And Paul, I can't believe you actually flew down to watch a Northeastern basketball game. I go to Wentworth and enjoy watching their hockey games, but I would probably rather listen to an Eric Alone show than travel to watch them play basketball.
Wow.
Well, it just keeps getting even worse, Fred.
Beat you in the Frozen Four, baby.
What happened?
They did it again.
Yeah?
The Huskies did it again. For the third consecutive playoff game, they allowed a goal in the final minute and lost. Three straight playoff games.
And the Perillo brothers were beside themselves.
Here's the worst part about this one. Let me go off on a little tangent for a
second.
Folks,
you can tune in about 10 minutes. We should be back.
Now it's one thing, and I know, and like Andy was very much on board with this yesterday. It's one thing to take, you know, the glee in my misery.
The Schadenfreude.
I knew he was gonna say that because he's so predictable. Anyway, you know, everybody swallows a thesaurus when Tom Brady gets hurt and, you know, you have to start using that word. The hubris of a guy who has to use the word shot.
All right.
Anyway, it's one thing to make fun of me, but Fred, this was very reminiscent to me of in 1986 World Series with the Red Sox. We're all sitting around. We're in my den in my parents' house. My grandfather is over. The ball goes through Buckner's legs, right? You know what's going to happen in Game 7. You don't even have to wait for Game 7 to happen. You know what's going to happen, okay? The look on my grandfather's face was just... You could see he was saying, I'm really not ever going to get to see this team win the World Series. And you could see it. It was a resignation in his face.
Yeah.
And I saw that same look on my father's face when they lost to Cornell the other night. It was like, they're never going to get over the hump as long as I'm never going to see it. I could see it written all over his face. And I felt so bad because I have 25, 30, 40 more years of misery. My father, you know, God willing, hopefully he has 25, 30, 40 more years of misery,
too. I think what makes me laugh, Paul, is you don't have to have it. You didn't go
to the school you attended is in the Frozen Four.
This is all self-induced, Paul. It's like you're a masochist.
I didn't go to the Patriots either, but I root for the Patriots every day.
I know, what's the difference?
I don't understand why you have to go to the school. There's a million college basketball and football fans of schools out
there. That's kind of the point.
How many Notre Dame fans there are that didn't go to Notre Dame?
Well, yeah, you got me there. I mean, they're big enough.
So my whole family went to Northeastern, so I root for them, even though I didn't go there. I don't really see why it's that strange.
Well, it wouldn't be as strange if they were like a powerhouse and it was fun to root for them.
Well, I understand it's a much smaller agony. But I'm a fan of the teams. I just don't know what's wrong with it.
I don't know if you were here. I think you were gone. But
I can't wait for this premise.
I believe that if we got you to sit down or lie down with a psychiatrist, not with her, but with him or her, but, you know, in the room.
She hot?
We could get out of you the fact that what this really is, this is guilt that you feel, and you're basically relieving yourself of guilt or trying to relieve yourself of guilt by rooting for Northeastern because you are guilty that you went to BU. No. You feel you let your family down.
I didn't root for Northeastern before I went to BU. No.
You feel you let your family down.
For 10 years?
That you were the only member of your family that didn't go to Northeastern, and now this is all trying to make up for that in the eyes of your family.
Listen, stop. First of all, because you're embarrassing yourself.
You don't think that's true?
I think it's true. I'll tell you another
thing. Why else would you put yourself through this? Don't you have enough going on in your life you have to worry about Northeastern?
Look, for the better part of my adult life, I rooted for the Patriots.
Yeah.
And they were just as miserable as Northeastern.
That's pro sports.
They lost every game, year.
And you did go to
a school.
It's not like you never went to a school. You went to BU. It has sports.
Yeah, and I thought I would start rooting for them when I got there, but I only found that my hatred intensified.
Doesn't have all sports.
No football or baseball anymore. Mm-mm. You know? But
this is that. Are you trying to tell me that the only reason you make fun of me for rooting for Northeastern is because I didn't go there? So if I felt the way I feel about Northeastern, about BU, you wouldn't make fun of that?
No.
Of course you would.
No, that's your school. You'd be true to your school.
It's the same thing. It's a low-level school that people don't care about.
Look,
500 people go to the basketball games.
If Emerson had a gym, I'd root for their sports.
It's the same thing. You absolutely would make fun of me.
You're true to your school. You're true to your school. Now, but you're true to everyone else's school.
No, I'm true to the school that I've rooted for my whole life. I don't turn my back on them just because I didn't go there.
I think that
I can't really argue with
you,
Paul.
You need
on
a
this.
Cleansing. You need an emotional cleansing.
Because you would you if someone was as passionately into BU or some other small level, you know, Monmouth in New Jersey or some low level Division I school. Regardless if you went there or not, you'd make fun of them.
Yes. If they didn't go to Monmouth and they were rooting for Monmouth, I would make fun of them.
So,
yes.
So if it's a big school, you can root for it if you didn't go there.
Well,
that's your rule. That's the Fred Kirsch rule.
As long as it's a big enough school, if you didn't go there, you can root for it.
Notre Dame was on TV every weekend. That makes a lot of sense.
You
can't root for Northeastern. Because they're too small. But if you didn't go to Duke, you can root for Duke.
You can
That's
root
big
for
enough.
Duke. Because
That's big
TV.
Enough.
There are...
Even though 10 people go to their football games, you can root for Duke.
When you start,
That's a big school.
When you start talking about schools like
Even
that...
Even though there's about one-third of the students go to Duke
when,
that go to Northeastern.
When you start talking
you
about schools
again,
like
Fred.
That, that is sort of like as close to pro sports as you can
well,
get in
let
the
me, let me.
I can see
Fred.
Kids rooting for...
So there's a line of demarcation. As long as you're
yes.
big enough that you
That's
can
right.
send guys to the pros... You don't have to go
That's
to that
right.
school.
Let me kids latch on to Dukes and in La Crosse, Virginia, and Navy, and in football, Michigan.
So what if I told you the Northeastern hockey team right now probably has six guys that'll be in the NHL in 5 years?
Paul,
does that not count?
You can't. Look.
BU probably has 10 or 12 guys that'll be in
grasping,
the NHL.
You're grasping.
No, I'm just asking. I'm not grasping anything.
You
they're
need
your
to relieve yourself of this burden.
I'm not grasping anything. This is a burden. I'm trying to figure out your rules.
Let me stop making me laugh. Let me stick up for Paul for a second here, Fred.
You're going to stick up for Paul?
I'll stick up. I want to stick up for Paul. Because
glad to see you.
It's a little bit unfair. I think you're ganging up on him a little bit.
I'm ganging up on him. I went to fight my own battles.
Like Paul, I went to BU and had a miserable experience there.
But that was for different reasons.
It was for different reasons.
When they beat you up and took your lunch money.
Now shut up. But my point is,
shut up, Fred. That's very disrespectful.
My point is, when BU basketball is on, I don't root for BU basketball. I root for Providence College. My dad is a PC alum. I grew up watching the Friars. I root for the Friars. The Friars are my college basketball
team. I root for the Friars, too.
No, but, but that's okay because Providence plays on TV.
I know, but
that passes the line of demarcation.
But, no, I'm sticking up for you.
Even though Northeastern beat Providence this year.
I'm sticking up for you.
No, but I'm saying it's okay for you to do that. Fred deems that okay because Providence is big enough.
Do you spend 40% of your waking hours on the Providence bulletin board and writing a newsletter?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, that's part of the problem is why I'm way behind right now. Actually, I haven't been on the board. Fred, I can't go to the board, you know.
You've been banned?
No,
I've been banned.
No, I'm not banned. It's my board.
We have an issue there.
Oh, you run the board?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
My brother and I run the board. But I can't
go. He doesn't
go.
Even know that the Patriots have their own board, yet he runs one for Northeastern.
Fred, I can't go. I can't bring myself to go. I can't go.
Oh, God.
I can't do it. I have a self-imposed 24-hour rule that I shortened to 12 hours.
You have a moratorium on that?
Yeah, that's how long you can be on every day.
No, you can't post within 24 hours after a really bad loss. But I had to shorten that to 12 hours because I was really bottled up. But now, forget it. I can't go at all.
Oh, my God.
I can't go at all.
Oh, my God.
Dan knows a little bit about college hockey, so he knows what I'm talking about. He knows when you colossally choke.
Yeah, but I root for a good team.
When you colossally choke the way Northeastern did.
Right.
And then when you have to watch your arch rival colossally get games handed to them the way BU does, get a power play with 15 seconds left and have the other team score for you, and then you end up going to the Final Four, it's a little easier when you're Dan than it is for me.
Look, there's always women's track and field.
Yeah, you got to hand it to them. Being number one in the country the entire year, six losses
get that,
on season.
They didn't get that game handed to them?
There was a clear penalty with 47 seconds left in the game.
And then the UNH guy scored for him.
Shouldn't have dove.
How's the men's tennis team going to be?
I don't think they have men's.
I'm wondering.
They don't have tennis.
You know, our audience grows by leaps and bounds on this show.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if in the last 10 minutes, somebody who's a huge Patriots fan who just discovered this show clicked on.
Sorry.
And is like, wait a minute. Did I get the wrong
screen? I just wanted to get the Fred Kirsch
Flash.
Rules.
Sorry.
The Fred Kirsch rules to me were very interesting. That was the interesting part of that.
Look,
you can root for a school that you didn't go to as long as it's of a certain size.
There's reasons why kids latch on to the big schools when they're kids.
But Providence?
They're on TV. That's different. You're going to compare yourself to Eric now?
No, I'm just saying that's okay according to you. That's a big enough school.
No. You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
No, no one knows
what I mean.
A lot
of kids grew up liking Notre Dame because they were like the only college team on every weekend.
But I grew up, I mean, it has nothing to do with
now
TV.
You can watch, you know, the Michigans, and you can watch the Ohio States and the USC.
That's a Johnny come lately to the college football circles. Michigan. Never heard of Bo Schembechler.
But I can,
what a buffoon.
Kids love those teams, those big teams.
What a maroon.
That's
exactly what I was thinking.
You know, those traditional big powerhouse football teams. But, you know, it's not like, you know, Northeastern is in that.
You can't even keep a straight face.
John from Tewksbury says, would this crap in Denver not be taking place that Josh McDaniels just told Cutler that he was taking a look at Castle?
Yes. I said that a couple of weeks ago. I thought that.
You think it wouldn't be taking place?
I don't think it would be as bad.
I think if he said that to Cutler, Cutler would have been crying.
He did the same thing.
No.
I totally agree with Fred.
No, but I think the point of the email is that McDaniels and the Broncos brass wouldn't be taking such heat for the whole situation if he had just come out and said off the bat.
That might be, but I think they'd have the same mess on their hands that they do right now with Cutler.
They might
Cutler's
have the same mess with Cutler, but
I think Cutler's an immature baby.
Cutler's an idiot.
I think McDaniels handled it all wrong, yes, and he's guilty, but I think Cutler's an immature baby.
Absolutely.
This is like the NFL and Comcast. There's no good party in this one.
There isn't, but I'm saying if the Broncos had just come out right away and said, yes, we were interested. It makes sense. It's logical. I was just a coach there. I have a relationship with Matt. We just wanted to listen to all offers and keep our options.
Yeah, but that
open.
Wouldn't be true either.
But if they had just you don't think they were listening to offers for Matt Castle?
They were making an offer for Matt Castle.
So
that's different than listening.
But if they had just come out and said, yes, there was interest in Matt Castle and left it at that, the Broncos wouldn't be taking the heat for the situation that they're taking right now because everybody would be looking at
probably
and
not
saying
as probably not as
fault.
Much, but they would still be taking heat because people would say, "Why are you looking at Matt Castle when you have Jay Cutler?"
Right. No, because I think people would make the obvious connection.
There's still a lot of people out there that think that there's no comparison between those two guys. I personally think Cutler's a much more talented guy, but for their system, I think. Assuming Josh is going to run the Patriot system, I think
when you got a dink like Jay Cutler and you're thinking of moving him, you better move him. Because if you don't, You're stuck, with the fallout.
And I think that's largely true, Fred, for any number one quarterback. I mean, I'm talking about an established starter.
Right.
Not a guy that, depending on how
Billy Joe Hobert.
Yeah. You know, when you have a guy that's been your starter for a couple of years, I think his feathers are going to be ruffled.
You got to move, and you got to move quick. Guy. It's like when you make a hit.
God,
you can't hesitate.
Look what happened in Philadelphia with McNabb.
Absolutely.
Thinking of how many hits he's gone on in his day.
This would be happening.
We don't talk about this
would be happening, I think, in regards to Cutler and the fallout, regardless of how McDaniels handled it. Although I do agree with you, Eric. If he had handled it the way you did, he would look better. McDaniels would look better.
Anthony in Liverpool, England. Just want to say how good the new Flash player is. I can finally listen to the show live again.
Here we go again.
There's one or two silences
like
in the stream, but it's a small price to
pay.
Well done.
Flash.
I just want to keep people updated with the progress.
PFW in Progress forums. Talk about it there.
Let's see. Keith in Derby says the stream isn't good today.
I hope he's talking about the... All right, never mind.
Oh, little love. Flo Max going on?
Yeah.
Sam in Chicago.
Not here. Somebody
it's not a going problem.
Sam in Chicago says, thanks for the show. As always, do you think Banta Kane will contribute as he did in 06, and will he stay as an outside linebacker?
Yeah, I don't see him playing any other position.
He'll be an outside linebacker if he's on the team.
Right, that's the question.
I think he's going to be a special teamer. I mean, that's where he's...
You think he'll make the team, though?
Yeah, as a special teamer.
Okay.
That's where he's going to make his biggest contribution.
Yeah, I think Fred's probably right.
Probably right.
I am not even going to have an eyebrow raised if he doesn't make the team. Let's put it that way. Especially after you asked me this question the first week of May when I see what they get in the draft. They get an English on one of those guys. I think he's in big jeopardy.
Yeah.
Adrian in Cleveland. Jason Taylor doesn't seem to be that eager to join the Patriots, does he? Tough to join the enemy after 11 years. That kind of sucks. Is there any other outside linebacker free agents that might be a possibility? You know, there's more to this email. But you know what? He brings up the first time anyone's brought that up. We all went, oh, my God, Larry Issa went to the Jets? You know, why isn't it the same if Jason Taylor went to the Patriots?
I think people have made that connection.
Really? I haven't heard it in that sense.
I don't think that's that big a deal.
You know,
I don't think it's a big deal,
I don't think players think in those terms at all.
Not in this day and age. Maybe 20 years ago.
Rodney, who's more hardcore than Rodney? Rodney was a hair away from going to Denver.
Yeah.
After being in San Diego.
Oh, when he was in San Diego. Right.
You know, that's an AFC West rival, bitter rival.
Well, wasn't he a little mad at San Diego,
for
not?
Yeah, but he still was going to go to a team that he hated.
Right.
Right.
It doesn't matter how he feels about San Diego. He was going to go to a team that he's ostensibly hated for 10 years.
The so-called hatred among teams is much more to do with the fan base than the actual players.
It's true.
The players don't hate
each other. But if you're a guy like Jason Taylor, who knows when his time is done, he will be known as a Dolphin.
Yes.
Yeah, well, sure.
Do you think about, if I go to the Patriots, I'm kind of compromising that image that I have with the fans?
I don't know.
I think if you're
Jason Taylor, you decide what's most important.
That might be why he threw in Miami there. Hey, I haven't ruled out going back to Miami.
You might be right. That might be why he threw it in there, because it doesn't seem to me to make a lot of sense that Miami would want him back. I think the emailer brought up the Parcells thing, and I think there was some friction there.
Knowing how long he's played his career in Miami, everyone's going to associate him with Miami. Even if he plays here for 2 years, he's still going to be known as a Dolphin.
True.
Just like Curtis Martin is always going to be known as a Jet, even though he started his career here, and he's one of the best running backs we've ever had in New England. And he went to a division rival when he left here.
Yes.
But people know him as a Jet
because
he played most of his career.
Why are you talking like that?
If the Pats have about $6 to $7 million of cap space, will they need any of them to sign the rookies? If they do, how much cap will they use?
Well, they need...
But that's already accounted
for. You get a rookie cap allotment that they'll get. And they have that amount of money to sign all their rookies.
Finally, we have PFW in P on Tuesday and Thursday, Draft Tracker on Wednesday, and Roster Report on Friday. Any chance of having something on Monday? Maybe Hot Stove. It's never a bad thing to ask. Well, we're also going to have – so we have the Roster on Roster Report
on Friday.
Plus Friday Outtakes. Can't forget about that.
Debate
Friday. Friday's a big day now on Patriots.com.
Huge. Right.
We have PFW in progress on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Draft prospect.
What's a draft prospect report?
Those are Wednesdays.
Those are Wednesdays. Yeah. So we need something for Monday.
Do we really?
Well, we got the Blitz.
We have that every day.
I know, but over the weekend, when you get a chance to do it.
Yeah. I do it every day.
I don't know. I got an email when I was on vacation.
It was the day I was moving cubes, and I had to spend 3 hours cleaning up moving cubes.
Whose?
Cubicles.
Oh.
Cubes with a C,
okay.
Fred.
Cubes.
Okay. Well, let's see.
One day, Paul.
I'm just telling you about the emails I get when I'm on vacation.
I was moving. I spent 3 hours cleaning up that.
What the hell's going on in there?
That pigsty. That Chris Ferrer used to inhabit, and Dave Dudek used to inhabit before then. I had to spend 3 hours vacuuming, dusting, Lysol in the damn thing. You wouldn't have cleaned that thing if you would have to live with Dudek.
You would have liked it. He had his little maid outfit on, and he had the feather duster. It was really nice. You should see the look he's giving me.
20-2. We haven't read any emails, Fred. Let's go.
Let's see. James from England checking in. Just a quick question to ask you guys. Why we always seem to have to play the Giants in preseason? I think it's something like 5 years in a row now. I'm not complaining because, after all, it's only preseason. I just wondered how these are decided.
The teams sort of get together. We don't have to, but there's an agreement between certain teams in regions that they try to play each other, so they don't have to travel very far.
Right.
So we tend to play East Coast teams.
I think I think Eric's got the nail right in the head there. You look at – I don't think it's a coincidence. Washington and Philly, two – pretty short flights. Now, we've played Tampa
that's
a lot in the preseason.
East Coast.
We've played Carolina a lot in the preseason.
East Coast.
But I think that they try to keep it as easy as they can, and I think the teams do have a say in who they play.
Right.
So I don't think we have to play the Giants.
Right.
I think that makes a lot of sense for us to do so.
By the way, Philly, a stadium I've never been to. We can check that off.
Oh, nice.
That'd be a good one.
Good stadium, too.
Is
good
it?
Stadium.
The
link. Not great. Not great. It's not like Reliant or Ford Field. Or,
for a new stadium, I found the concourses narrow.
The concourses were narrow.
Narrow.
I mean, for the fans?
Yeah.
I didn't walk in.
It wasn't as wide as I thought they should be.
Maybe that's just because you're putting on
How about the
weight.
City? I've never been to Philly.
A lot of good things in Philly. A lot of bad things in Philly.
You
want to talk homeless? Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah. Philly has a real bad homeless problem.
Well,
but there's some good parts of Philly. A lot of cultural things.
A lot of colleges.
There's some good areas.
Restaurants. Cheesesteaks.
Great restaurants.
We're going to
Big five, of which if you didn't go to those schools, you shouldn't be rooting for them.
Taz writes in, well, you got to have a reason to root for a college, Paul.
He has a reason.
Well, I do have a reason, number one.
Family connections.
But number two, why can't you just like a school and root for it?
I think you have to have a reason.
I do. My whole family went there, and I've been a season ticket holder since I was like 5 years old.
That'd be funny if all his family started rooting for BU, and he was the only one rooting for Northeastern.
Well, all that would happen then if we all started rooting for BU.
He wouldn't root for anybody.
Yeah. Because whoever I root for
loses. Uh-oh, here come the Perillos. Poor Paul. Taz from Toronto.
It's that family from across town.
Taz from Toronto. I was just wondering about when a team can sign their own year their one-year contract guys to extensions. Let's say Bodden breaks out. We would rather sign him before free agency to avoid the high bid wars for him. Can a team re-sign a player during the season if that guy shows he can play, or do they have to wait till the end? Also, if Pettigrew fell to 23, do you think Bill would take him since he loves first-round tight ends and just give up on Watson? Well, first of all, you can sign a guy to an extension, but you can only do it once per season. You can't do it twice.
That's correct. Now,
I believe
signing a guy to a contract isn't the same as extending a guy twice in the same year.
So you can well,
I think they could sign a guy to an extension at some point during the season.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So what were you saying about signing twice?
Once you do it, you can't do it again.
If they had extended, you know, like the year when they gave Seymour that contract, that bonus,
yeah,
they couldn't do anything else with him until a year had passed.
But in the case of Lee Bodden,
but
they've signed him to a contract. They could extend
him. They could extend it during the season.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now,
sure.
At the same time, I don't think that makes any sense whatsoever for Lee Bodden.
No, because if he's having a great year.
Exactly.
Why do I want to
get yourself out there on the open market and see what you can get? Even if you want to go back to the Patriots for whatever they're offering you, you do yourself a disservice
by not waiting. Like he said, maybe they'll franchise me.
Sure.
Which he'd have to have an incredible season for that to happen, I think. But You would hope that he does have that kind of season.
Yeah, but the players kind of like 1 year deal. Unless the player can get a huge signing bonus and the Albert Haynesworth, the big money. Players like 1 year deals. They like being able to play that 1 year, prove it, and then go. Mm-hmm. They don't like when they get to the point of free agency and then they get stuck getting franchised, and that limits their mobility. They have no flexibility. There's a difference there. Lee Barden had a chance to explore the market, see what was out there, didn't like what was out there evidently, and rather went with the 1 year deal instead of signing any kind of a multiple year deal, which I guess he could have had from New England, right? You guys are telling me
he talked
about on his conference call when I was on vacation. He said that the Patriots actually offered him,
there was a report out that he was offered a 4-year, $16 million deal from the team and his agent, and he turned it down, wanted to look around some more, and then they came back to the Pats and accepted the 1-year deal. He was asked about that, and he sort of played dumb. He sort of threw the blame on his agent as far as I don't really know what the offers were. I just did what my agent said.
Right.
TG and NJ says, if Fred is right, Paul, why did you go to BU and not Northeastern? I think Fred is onto something.
I got very bad advice from my guidance department.
See, that's not what I heard.
I don't know how much more consistent I can be with that story.
Word on the street.
The guy's
is.
Name was Ralph Cessery. He was also my baseball coach.
I heard that you were going through a rebellious time in your life, and you wanted to stick it to your brother and your father.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And now you're regretting it.
You're right. Started smoking dope and growing my hair long and stuff. Years ago. Stop looking, Fred. Eric.
Let's see.
Bad advice from my guidance department. Told me if I wanted to stay local and major in journalism, that was really my only option. Which there's a thousand options
wrong.
Well, BU does have a great school of communications.
Yeah.
Look
where it got me.
Howard Stern went to BU.
Look where it got me.
Who else went to BU?
BU has a good community.
James Woods. Jason Alexander.
James Woods went to BU.
BU has a good
Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander went to BU. Luther King went to BU.
I don't have any beefs with my education. I think it's overrated. I think I paid way more money than I needed to.
An undergraduate diploma means nothing these days. That's a high school diploma 30 years ago. It's true.
Makes you feel pretty good now, doesn't it?
Hey, I'm in the same boat, fellas.
Jeez, that really makes me feel even better about spending, how much did we spend?
Yeah.
About $150?
I was about
$120,000.
About 60 to 80,000.
Trust me.
When I was,
we're getting ripped off.
Like 30,000 a year? Had to be like 30,000.
Oh, back then.
It was like, maybe it was 50
now.
Maybe it was.
Money. I didn't.
No, I didn't. Remember the T-shirts? Did you remember the T-shirts? Zero. It was like 0 to 100,000in 4.5 years.
I didn't buy any beefs.
No, but kids used to wear them on campus all the time.
I know.
Let's see.
All I had was BU baseball stuff, Fred. That's all I would wear.
All issued stuff. Right. Let's see. Chris with a TIAN. I was reviewing the draft prospect videos on the site the other day, which are phenomenal, by the way. And Sean Smith from Utah stood out.
Huge.
While watching the video, I remember him in the Sugar Bowl against Alabama, and he was all over the field. Possible first-round pick? Too high? What do you think?
No, possible first round.
He is absolutely enormous. I'm not sure he's going to play corner, though. I don't know how you guys feel about
this. No, I think he'd probably be a safety.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
Big.
I believe he's six. I left my
Fred, he's one of the biggest corners I've seen. He's like that guy from Virginia Tech a few years ago.
But he can get the hips moving?
I thought, and listen, the tape that we watch – and, I don't want to come off. I watch one position, okay? Eric and Andy are far ahead of me on this, but the tapes that we watch sometimes, you don't get to see a lot of different plays, and you don't get to see the all-11 camera angle to see the whole thing.
And it's not an ISO all the time.
I thought he was behind in coverage almost every play they showed. He has great ball skills and great recovery. He'll dive, and you know what he reminded me of? Otis Smith. He was three steps behind the guy he was covering all the time, and the throw happened to be three steps behind the receiver every time, and he made all the plays. What I want to see is the plays that the throw is perfect, and he doesn't, and he's not there.
Right.
But physically, it was like 6'2",
6'3". 6'2", 2-something.
Huge.
210, 220, something like
and
that.
And plays physical, plays aggressive.
Interesting.
Very athletic. I think he's going
to be sure to keep my eye out.
I think
for
he's going to be a safety, though.
Yeah.
Let's see. Not So Hot Amy writes in. Hiya, fellas, and Hall of Famer Paul Perillo.
Hey, thanks, Amy.
Right now, if you had a gun put to your head, what would you do with the first pick of the draft? All options open. Trade up, trade down. Choice is yours. And P.S., Eric, did you forward my email to Fred?
I sure did.
What email was that?
About Friday Outtakes.
Oh.
Yes. He did.
Yes, remember, because it sparked a little debate.
Because we all wrote about
she
it.
She didn't like it.
She didn't like it. She doesn't like it. She's not a fan. Yeah.
I've heard a couple that right now I'd say it's about 60% don't like it, 40% like it.
That high? On the likes?
Yeah.
Really?
We haven't had that many.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Obviously,
it's a little higher than that.
No one of consequence has read it yet, evidently.
Right.
We'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an acquired taste.
I'm not talking about the taste of the writing. I'm concerned about the shots that we're taking at the league.
Yeah. It's not the writing is – I have no problem with John's writing.
Nah, I don't have any problem. I'm a smartass. I have no problem with smartass writing.
I don't think
that
he's that bad.
It's the
he's
form,
not that
Fred.
Bad.
No,
really?
But it's just it's.
I think he criticizes everybody.
A lot of shots at,
well, that's
at league,
the whole idea.
Except the Patriots. At league elite.
Right.
And it's on a league, a team's sanctions.
We, and I say we, I mean the collective we, yeah. All the teams, we need to get more aggressive with our websites. We need to compete.
Yeah.
We need to give people a reason to come to our websites.
Sure.
We can't just be a place where you read about bios in press releases.
No, you're
it
right.
It needs to be more than that.
Which is why we're doing stuff like Debate Friday and with the polls,
right.
Which is very popular.
And I think you guys are doing a great job, but I don't mind pushing the envelope a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I think we need to do that.
All right.
I think all the teams need to do that. You know, it's all in fun. It's just
sure.
Sports.
I agree, Fred. I'm just concerned about how it's being...
I don't think he's taking any cheap shots, personal shots.
I agree with you. I just am concerned about the perception. That's
I agree. I agree.
I don't think there's anything wrong with what John's writing.
No. F
him. No, not at all.
Let's see.
What did he say?
Wow.
Nothing. Pat from Chicago. Pat from Chicago, first off, thanks for doing the show. You guys argue a lot about what the fans want to hear, Flash Player, T.O., and Wedge Salads. Personally, I love it when you guys argue over hypotheticals that have no real answer, so here is mine. If Belichick was the one who went down in week one instead of Brady, he goes into a coma or something, what would our record have been? Would we have made the playoffs? That's a great question. Not that we want to see it going.
We would not have made the playoffs.
I think we would have gone 11-5.
And I think it would have been less than 11-5.
I agree.
I think we still might have.
I think he's the glue.
Double digits.
I really think he's the glue.
Oh,
now,
wait a minute. Belichick went down instead of Brady.
I think 11-5, and probably would have missed the playoffs.
As long as we're quoting Andy, I wanted to quote Andy.
Yeah.
I think Eric might be right.
Yeah, maybe
Eric might be
they
right.
might be able
if
to get a winning season out of, but long term it would be devastating.
If you had Brady and you had that team last year,
you might have won some of the games.
You might have won some of the games
you lost, but you might not have.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Lost
I
some
think,
of the games
I
you
think
won.
They might have been 11-5, 12-4. I think they might have been a little bit better with Brady.
Yeah.
We skipped over Hot Amy's question about who we would take first in the draft.
Oh,
gun to your head.
Yeah.
Fred, who's our lads like?
Oh, he's pulling an Andy there.
Well, is everyone available? Or?
Just make
number
a decision.
Number one overall
we're gonna
pick.
No, pull
no
the trigger.
Said with our first. No.
Yes.
Oh, she wants our pick?
I thought she meant our pick.
Yeah. Oh, our pick. I like Larry English. I thought you meant number one overall.
No, our pick in the first round, right?
I thought she meant the number one overall pick. I like the kid that Andy and Eric
English.
Have been talking about
Larry
for a long
mm-hmm.
time. Yeah. From Northern Illinois.
Larry English. Outside linebacker, well, defensive.
Who's this Curry guy?
Aaron Curry, linebacker.
He could
from
be
Wake
the number
Forest.
One overall.
He could be the number
okay,
one.
Well, that's
overall.
Who I would pick.
Okay,
at 23. Is that that's
he,
who you
he
would
should
pick.
Be available. At
she said
23.
Anything?
If he's either going to go one or 23.
All right, I'm going to trade up
that's
and get
I,
him.
That's what
I'm
I've heard.
Trade up
I'm
and get
trade
him.
Up to what?
Not to number one because
to
I don't
where?
Think he's going to go number one.
Well, he's going to he's going to go in the top five.
He's going to go in the top 10.
So who are you going to trade with?
Whoever's there. I'm going to try to get Aaron Curry.
There are teams there now. Who are you going to trade with?
They're not interested in him.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Let's see.
I can't even argue because I've done so little research. I don't know for sure that he's wrong. I can't argue.
Darius from Columbus, Ohio. Sources say the Pats are scheduling a visit with Ziggy Hood. Mm-hmm. Since he is projected to be a mid to high first round pick, could this mean the Pats are considering Julius Peppers, figuring they would have to let Seymour or Wilford go next year to make room on the salary cap, as opposed to going after a linebacker with the first round pick?
I think it's difficult and a little unwise to read too much into the pre-draft visits and how much interest
right.
that means a team has in a player. And I say that because there are a lot of instances where players are asked after the draft, how much contact did you have with the team prior to the draft? And they say, on draft day when they called me, that was the first time I ever heard from them. So it's not necessarily an indicator that they really, really want a certain guy, that they bring him in. A lot of times there's something missing in their evaluation of him that they want to get. And they only can get that now because they have the opportunity to bring
right,
the guy in.
Right.
That's not saying that they're not interested in any of these guys.
You're allowed
bring
to bring,
there,
I think it's a pretty big number, 30.
Yeah.
You know, and some of those are smoke screens. You know, I'd say three of four of them are guys. You probably aren't really, but, you know.
Barwin was a guy who was here last week, I think.
Yeah.
His agent confirmed that. In that case, I think there is legitimate interest because they have talked to him before. They talked to him at the Combine. They talked to him at the Senior Bowl or the East-West Shrine. I forget which one. I think he was in the Senior Bowl, but one of those games.
When does BU have their pro day?
BU doesn't have a football team.
For hockey, right? It's probably after
every day's a pro day for the hockey.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, it's I think it's a little risky to read into every single visit because there are so many of them. If there were only five or six, I think you could say with more certainty that a team is interested in a guy because you only have a handful. When you have 30, I think it's a little bit of a stretch to read too much into that.
I also would bet, and you don't know how many of these guys the Patriots are visiting with privately on their campuses. Those are the ones that we usually find out on draft day. You know, when you say what kind of contact they had, well, I wasn't there, but I spoke to, you know, they always say who the scout was.
I've been living with Bill Belichick for the last 3 months.
And they always say who the scout was that they talked to or the position coach gets involved in that kind of stuff and so on and so forth. I'll bet you Mike Reese has a good log of this with all the different draft visits over the years. But I'll bet you more than half of the guys the Patriots have drafted have not been to Foxborough for visits.
I could be wrong, but I seem to recall Mayo was a player who did not have a visit last year.
I don't remember. But like I said, I bet you Mike does. I bet you Mike records all the guys that he knows confirmed visited with the Patriots in Foxborough as part of those pre-draft visits, those 30 pre-draft visits. And I'll bet you Mike has that information over the last several years because that's the kind of stuff that he keeps track of. And I'll bet you'd be shocked to find out how few of those guys actually were drafted by the Patriots.
Josh from Arlington, not always, Paul, he said. Paul said players like having that prove-it one-year deal. Just the other day, Tampa Bay wide receiver Antonio Bryant was complaining about being franchised for $9 million because
that's not a prove it 1 year deal
to go out there and prove it again.
That's not a prove it 1 year deal. What I'm talking about is when they get to they like to get to free agency to have the freedom to do whatever they want. Antonio Bryant didn't get that freedom. He got franchised, so he didn't get a chance to get.
Right.
They want the big money signing bonus and the long term security. When they don't have that as an option, they want the 1 year deal rather than a 2 year, 3 year short money deal. They'd rather have a one-year deal. That's, you know, Antonio Bryant got franchised. They never want that because that prevents them from being able to. Lee Bodden got the opportunity to shop his services to all 31 other teams other than Detroit, and he decided the best for him was to take a one-year deal to prove it. He got a chance to get out there on the free agent market. There's a difference there.
James writes in, James Pettigrew, on February 7th, 2009.
James Pettigrew's writing in?
Brandon?
Brandon's brother?
Let's see. Offer, that's the ShamGow guy, was arrested in Miami Beach, Florida on a charge of felony battery after an altercation with a 26-year-old prostitute. Offer, who appears in police reports under his real name, Vince Shlomi, contended that he struck the prostitute when she bit his tongue and would not let go. Prosecutors later declined to file formal charges against either individual.
A hooker is a person.
His real name is Shlomi.
Shlomi.
You know, if anyone here rhymes with
Dan in Fairfax, my mom and dad both went to BU. Count me in the don't like category.
Nice.
Yeah, we have there's a groundswell of hatred for BU, Paul. Dislike, I should say. Hatred's a strong word.
You know, they got rid of rid of baseball and football. How un-American can you be? You know.
I mean, John Silber was in charge. Oh, that was a miserable human being.
You were, you were already gone by that point. But when he was running for governor, there were so many students on campus who were supporting his candidacy for governor because they wanted him to leave BU.
James also has another way of saying Eric's name, which I won't say over the air because
it's incorrect. That's probably why. Yeah,
well, Scalavagina.
Oh,
which James is this?
James Pettigrew. But he says, do you think Michael
tackling hyena?
Do you think Michael Vick will be reinstated? Do you think he should be, and who would be interested?
Nobody.
I think he should be reinstated, and
He should be. He paid his dues.
He paid his dues.
He did his time.
I have personal reasons for. I don't like him.
Well, that doesn't mean he shouldn't be reinstated, right, though.
That'd be like me saying I don't think BU should have athletic teams because right. I don't like them.
Right.
I just don't think if teams are look what are they going to use him for? They're going to look at him as a starting quarterback.
That's not but the question.
I'm asking the question.
The question is, should he be reinstated? And I think he should be. I think he's paid his dues. You know, like
we're a land of laws.
Okay, fine. He's reinstated. What are teams going to look at him to be?
Now, I don't think that teams are going to be clamoring to sign him.
I would hope not.
The way everybody else seems to think it be.
I would hope not.
An easy no-brainer. I don't think that he really fits. I think that he's a questionable guy at the position he plays to begin with because of the unique nature of his skills. Yep. And what? Is it two years now?
2 years removed.
2 years removed?
Yeah.
That's
now,
that's
if he became an assistant coach at Northeastern, would you still be a Northeastern fan?
No, but it would be typical of having a guy who can't read a defense and be in charge of your offense.
Wow. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Congratulations to Andy on the newborn. He won't be here this week, but he's at a better place, right? He's with his kid.
Yep.
So we'll see you next Thursday.